Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, The Matthew Aaron Show is on Facebook. You go to the search bar, you type in The Matthew Aaron Show, you'll find us. You click like. We're also on Stitcher with everybody else in the world. You can listen to my show and then listen to Corolla's show or something, whatever you're into. And what else are we on? Is there other things that we're doing?
Tumblr, or what's Tumblr?
Oh, are we on Tumblr?
Are you Tumblr?
I thought Tumblr's like a blog thing.
It is it?
Yeah. I thought they put like
Stitcher, okay.
Nudie stuff on Tumblr. Okay.
Are you on Vine yet?
What's Vine?
Vine is a video app for Twitter.
I'm Kate Kelton. So everyone knows Kate Kelton's here.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Kate Kelton. Say hello.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Lee
Capreas. Hello. Yeah.
At Lee Capreas on Twitter.
Is it at Lee Capreas?
Yes.
You got your own name?
Yes.
It's not like at Lee Capreas 43?
No.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's good. You grabbed that first. That all the
Well,
Lee
no,
Capreas
my,
other,
my
is
my original
out there on
handle.
Twitter.
My original handle was Nice Giner 69er, but we changed it. So.
We are here at Taste Chicago in Burbank. We just ordered a heart-shaped pizza for Kate and I's Valentine's Day. Did you listen to the show Kate was on last time? Have you heard that? No, you're
yes.
only on the show. I'm sure you didn't.
Yeah.
I'm sure you didn't.
We will flog you later.
Kate and I felt the chemistry. I felt the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was a little spark.
Will you love me and hug me and call me George?
Yes, that's what I'll do.
Excellent.
I saw Alan Spencer the other day.
Did you really?
I did. I bumped into him at dinner.
And how's he doing?
And we talked, and I told him I was having you on, and he had this big smile on his face.
I paid him for that.
He pretty much was like, of course. Of course, Kate Kelton, as you know, if you're a sci-fi fan from Haven, but if you're a fan of great, great, great work, Bullet in the Face, Alan Spencer, and that was on IFC. And it was fantastic.
I think you can still get it on iTunes and Amazon, actually.
Can you?
That's right.
Can you?
That's
Are you guys keeping IFC in business with that? Probably. There's another network cross off the pilot sell list. IFC, they're out.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Boy.
Just made that comment. There's another one. Cross them down between Carnahan and I. We're just... What network?
Can we not?
Yeah.
You can write it on a cocktail napkin now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just trying to make sure we can take this to nobody.
To nobody.
I think that's key in getting something sold. Taking
yeah.
it to nobody
take
works.
It, well, we're going to take it, but nobody's going to have it.
No.
They're all going to be like, this is actually the greatest pilot I've ever seen.
We should try
Go
Telemundo.
Go fuck yourselves and get out of here.
Telemundo, yeah.
Telemundo?
Yeah. Mundo.
Oh, is it Mundo? Or
I think this would be a...
So you pulled the Mundo over there.
Okay.
Is it a Mundo or a Mundo?
I think it might be a Mundo.
It's Mundo. Right. It's Mundo if you're like, you know...
Canadian.
White bread type.
If you're Canadian,
you're Canadian.
It's Mundo.
Canadian way of saying it.
Telemundo.
Otherwise, it's Mundo. You got to have the passion and the
Telemundo.
Is Canada really as great as I think it is?
You know, they pave the streets with licorice, and everyone flies around with little fairy wings.
Right. Is it really, though, that great? Come on. It's got to be
First
great.
First of all, come on. Red or black licorice?
Yeah, right.
Red or...
Red. Hello.
Oh, good.
Have
all right.
Have you seen our
Sweet.
Flag?
Red vines or Twizzlers?
Uh-huh.
That's what's important
good
here.
Hmm.
I like the purple vines. The grapevines. I like the grapevines.
Oh, boy.
I'm a fan of the grapevines when I go to the movie theater. They don't have them at this one, though. At this AMC, they don't have the vines.
Hmm.
Mm-mm. They have Twizzlers.
I just realized our show is perfect for Telemundo. We could go on after Sabado Gigante.
Yeah, and before Christina?
Yes.
Yeah. Christina!
Christina!
Can we just talk about this heart-shaped pizza?
Yeah, we can talk about the heart-shaped pizza as much as you want here
that
at Taste Chicago at Burbank.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. At 603 North Hollywood Way. I always get the address confused. I always say it as the area code. I'm always like at 818 North Hollywood
right.
Way. No. It's 603 North Hollywood Way, Taste Chicago. This heart-shaped pizza is like bubbling in front of me.
Gorgeous.
It does look really good.
Mm.
And it looks like something a chick would dig.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go on record here. I'm a chick. I dig it.
You can get this all year, the heart-shaped pizza.
Yeah.
Joe Montaigne is such a lover. He wants you to have that heart-shaped pizza for any occasion.
That's right.
Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, New Year's. It's all out there. Joe is a lover.
He is a mozzarella lover boy.
President's Day.
He goes, it's Martin Luther King Day. Where's the heart-shaped pie?
Right. Happy Arbor Day.
Yeah, Happy Arbor Day.
So I have a question for you. How are you dealing with moving to Los Angeles?
Well, I mean, we've been here a while now. We're going on a year and a half, aren't we?
Yes. For me, it's my second month of my second year.
I've
not adjusted. I've only become more like myself.
No, that can't be good.
But I'm hanging in there. Yeah. I think. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You're hanging in there, certainly.
You haven't wanted to murder anyone yet.
I'll tell you something.
We'll talk about that another
time. Like, this is the kind of stuff that makes my day better. Like, earlier this week, I was talking to Melinda McGraw, the actress from Dark Knight's on TV right now. Don't go, but it's on TV right now. She plays Barbara Gordon, and of course, Men of a Certain Age. She plays Aaron and Scott Bakula's girlfriend on the show.
That's right.
And I was talking to Melinda and her daughter selling Girl Scout cookies, and this was the highlight of my day. I ordered like 4 boxes. And Melinda's bringing them to my house.
Well, you got
and
like, a personal delivery.
Yes, it was like, this is the exciting part of my day.
You mean you didn't just get them at Ralph's where the girl literally follows you into Ralph's and sells you cookies?
I got Dosey-Dos. I got, I got tons. Samoas.
Oh, the Samoas are great.
Yeah,
I like those
Samoas.
Thin mints.
Those. Way to make your day.
I went no thin mints.
Really?
Because I would eat like the whole package in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
I got stuff I know I could have one and I'll be good for an hour.
I try to stay away from those cookies, but like I always buy them because they're great to eat when you're
high.
I don't buy
cookies.
I eat a whole box. You get high and eat a whole box because they don't put that many in the box.
I don't even eat stuff like that. You know, I don't eat candy and stuff. I don't eat stuff like that usually. But
weird.
It was
weird.
Wow, they have the Girl Scouts in L.A. This place isn't just hell. So I was like, I gotta buy cookies. I'm not even going to eat them.
This city has the most aggressive Girl Scouts that I've ever seen in my life, though. I mean,
that would be a crossover to the most aggressive girls, probably, in general, in this town.
Yeah, I mean,
so they start him young.
they come out from under your car when you park. It's like ridiculous.
If you park over a sewer, they move sewer lid and crawl through.
They're actually bagging you, dumping you into a van.
There would have to be sewers in L.A. I'm sorry.
No, they don't.
I'm stupid. For people that don't know about L.A., there's like in Chicago, there's 2 sewers per like block.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Out here, there's a sewer every like 4 blocks. So when it drizzles,
New York
it
has
looks
a...
like it's a downpour. It looks like it's flooding out.
Yeah. There's
because there's
the
no
street.
Sewer system.
No.
Yeah.
It blows. So
it just doesn't have the infrastructure to deal with anything other than sun.
No. You go to New York, they have a massive network of many, many sewers on every street corner, everywhere. For Ninja Turtles to live in, things like that. That's why the smell. But here's the.
Oh, and I also wanted to say Jason Gann's going to be joining us today. Wilfred. From Wilfred. And also from Wilfred in Australia. So he's got like 2 countries covered as Wilfred.
I'm wondering if that's how he booked the role.
No, it's his show. He created it.
Oh, of course.
He did
a
short film of it in Australia. And then it got picked up to do here, and it got Elijah Wood involved, and it's on FX, and it's a big hit, I guess.
I met Fiona, one of the co-stars at a party, and she was so exuberant about the
hot?
Show, and she's so adorable.
Is she hot? Do I got to look her up and
I
see how hot she is?
I auditioned with her husband, so she's married.
Oh, yeah, she's hot. Yeah, no, that's okay. Oh, no, wait, that's Jenna... Robin Williams is on the show. I mean, like, they got a nice little cast thing going on over there. I like FX. They're doing some of the best programming. Rob Riggle's been on.
Yeah.
Oh, Steven Weber, who I love. They had they have The Americans now, which I thought was really good. Chris Klein's doing Wilfred. You know what happened to Chris Klein is his career went in the toilet because people found out he wasn't the greatest dramatic actor on the planet.
No.
And then he did that audition video.
Yes, I was just going to bring up the audition
video. And everyone
ripped
on him. And he played it off so well that he's now getting comedy roles.
Yeah.
Because people are like, it was a brilliant PR move on his part because he took this shitty audition video that leaked.
Which
and by
brutal.
The way, that should never happen.
Yeah, I can't believe
as an actor.
I would be so mortified if some of my worst auditions.
I wouldn't even be mortified. That's so unethical. It's like that Lindsay Lohan movie that Paul Schrader's doing. They sent in a South by Southwest, and a official from South by Southwest leaked that they weren't going to bring it in
that
it's a piece of shit. And it's like, that's so unethical.
That? Yeah,
because now that tells me as a filmmaker, should I send my film to South by Southwest or are they going to throw it under the bus behind the scenes?
Are they going
to
ruin it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Chris had this terrible audition of his sent, which he admitted was terrible, all that, okay?
But he was in a number of movies before that happened
he did.
A sensitive jock, and he was good in them.
He was, because it was the right age range and everything.
Right.
His hair's been thinning like mine now, and like, he can't play the sensitive jock anymore. But Chris then did a comedy bit, I think on Funny or Die, about his audition.
Oh, is that what happened?
And everyone was like, he's so funny.
That's
he's amazing. In on the joke. He took it like a man.
Yeah.
And like everyone's like, he's great. So now he's getting cast in all this comedy stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, that's what you have to do.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
It's what you have to do is you have to take a massive joke.
But most people don't.
And
yeah,
be
most
in
people
on
are
it.
Offended.
I'll give you an
but
answer.
That, but people.
Beyonce, her publicist puts out that thing this week about take down all the pictures from the Super Bowl of Beyonce going like spread eagle and like flexing her muscles. Her publicist asked all the websites, please take them down. Because Beyonce can't be in on the joke.
But that's just sad.
It's so stupid.
That's just sad.
I know.
That's,
it is. You think way too much of yourself at that point.
Yeah.
Bob Gutton's on there, who I'm a big fan of.
Did that video where Ryan Gosling broke up a fight on the street, did that lead to his being cast in Drive? No.
I don't know. Was there really a video?
There's a video of
Ryan
him
Gosling
breaking,
beat someone up
no,
out on the street?
No, he's breaking up a fight.
Oh, how'd he do that?
He's literally just walking across the street.
Guys, can you please stop?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Come on, I really don't like
trying to memorize
this
my lines. Yeah. You guys are fighting. It's so weird. With that weird accent he does where no one knows where he's from.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's Canadian. It's not a Canadian accent.
It's not New York.
It's like he made up his own.
It's kind of like Pigeon Flemish.
Yeah. He made up his own.
I think he's a
accent.
Good actor. I do.
If I ever get in the same room with him, though, I'm going to be like, dude, this is how good of an actor you are. You don't leave anything behind because every time you do a role, you take a little bit of that accent and it all forms into your voice.
But, you know, I think that's exactly what happens. I've noticed that since living here, I'm almost 8 years in, I feel a little bit like my jaw got unhinged, and that's how all the American words flow out a little easier.
I was reading Billy Campbell talk today about how he's from West Virginia, and he lost his drawl and everything being out here.
We're still have our Chicago accent, don't we?
Yeah, to a degree.
Yeah.
No, we do.
Okay.
I think in Gosling's case, and I'm not saying this makes him a bad actor, but he went from Canada to here, and like I think it's him like adapting to the American accent, but not totally being able to do it.
Pull it off. Well, that's the thing. You don't even understand. There's a list of words that every agency
is
gives
there?
Canadian actors.
For real?
For real. You cannot say against. You have to say against. You cannot say orange. You have to say
they
orange.
They send that to
you
agencies?
You cannot say sorry. You have to say sorry. No, your agent sends it to you.
They didn't used to do that, though.
Your agent sent you a list of words as a Canadian. He did not want you pronouncing Canadian.
It basically makes sense because you show up to an audition. You're up against other Americans. If you're saying the words in a really bizarre fashion, the people aren't going to recognize why it's bizarre. They're just going to know that it's wrong and next.
That's crazy because they still, I mean, they used to do that. I used to catch Canadian accents in movies all the time. Mike Myers would say
sure.
Jim Carrey would say sorry in movies.
Yep.
Like it would,
I mean, I think once you reach their level, that's another story.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because then you can probably have a bit more.
Well, it's funny. It's because until they got to their level, that's when they were doing it.
Yeah.
That's when they were doing it. But I think, like, I know I do think you're right, though, because Jim was on in Living Color. And, you know, when you get a little thing behind you, people are just going to cast in. They don't care if you're going to fuck up a word or two.
So, like everything else, fame legitimizes.
Right. Yep. That is sadly how it works. Yeah, this is all very interesting, all this gossiping we're doing here.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. I love how I'm acting like I'm above the gossip when this is really all we're
doing. I can just hear roles being denied to us.
Yes.
Every minute we talk.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, should we talk about why I'm in a massive ball gown?
Oh, yeah. We didn't even. See, this is another thing about L.A. I'm so used to people being fucked up out here that her being in a massive Cinderella ball gown, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
You didn't even blink twice, people.
She is in this huge ball gown. She gets out of her car, and, like, this dress just poops open.
I had an audition a queen. What can I say? It's the only fitting outfit I had in my closet.
Okay.
And let's be real. I could have changed, but why?
Did they like that you wore it at least?
They did.
Did they give you props for it
good.
At least?
That's good.
They enjoyed that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
So, yeah, but like it's definitely when you were coming in, like for the briefest second, I just had that thought, oh, she's that kind of girl.
Not only is she that kind of girl. No, I still think that.
Yeah.
Not only is she that kind of girl who breaks all my equipment, but she's also the kind of girl who wears a ball gown to a pizza joint to get a heart-shaped pie.
That's right.
Yeah.
She is a high level of trash.
But the gown and the heart-shaped pizza, it's like some kind of modern fairy tale.
I know. I love it.
You know?
I love it. It's a Gary Marshall movie.
When you take the first bite, the prince will wake up.
Which Gary Marshall movie was this in? I don't
remember. She can conquer her lactose intolerance to wake the prince from his slumber.
And what's Drew Barrymore doing?
I saw her on Runyon hiking a few weeks ago.
You're just bumping everybody, don't you?
I do. I walked down the hill with Jane Fonda once. That was awesome.
Was that cool?
Yeah,
did you talk to her?
Because we talked about the movie Searching for Deborah Winger, which is amazing.
I know Searching for Deborah Winger. It's really good.
She talks in the movie about the circle of light and how rarely it has happened in her career that she's gone from her dark dressing room, dark hallways leading to the dark set, to this one circle of light where all the action is taking place and everything's pointed at you. And she said, really, only two or three times over an entire career has she managed to be in that emotion and have the tear hit at the right spot and hit all the marks and all that magic. And it just took so much pressure off of me because I thought, okay, if Jane Fonda can only have...
Oh, you guys realize your editors are just really good.
Right. Exactly.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
We had a grand old time talking about that all the way
down. No, I was in the editing room for Dine and Dash yesterday and I realized something. I may be good, I may not be good, it doesn't matter. My editor makes me look good.
How did it look?
It looks good. It looks really good. I mean, listen, it's totally got everything I asked for, which I love. It's that Ridley Scott feel. Just to go over the process, you know, we were having a conversation about how it's very I loved the first cut, but it was a little too inside baseball for me at certain points. So what we did was we added some more of the comedy segments and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it now works really well, I think.
Right.
I think that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
I mean,
Kate Walsh is hilarious.
Yes.
I will say this. After the shoot, I was like, Joe and Lucy did such a good job, but Joe and Lucy, it seemed like at points, were carrying a lot. Joe Carnahan, Lucy Lawless. They were carrying a lot of the show on their back at points, it seemed. So I'm like, oh, man, how are we going to get enough of Kate? How are we going to get enough of Common? How are we going to get enough of Dermot? And I'm sitting here yesterday watching this, and there were parts where I'm like, we need more Dermot, we need more Dermot. But Kate, this is what it comes down to, and this is the great thing about doing this talk show, Dine and Dash, and doing this show is when you're really talented, even if you only speak three or four times, if you're intellectual, if you're funny, odds are it's going to be great.
Right.
And those are the only three or four takes we need.
Amazing.
Right.
That's true.
That's what's great. Kate Walsh was so good when she did tell stories. And she only told like four or five stories without being interrupted or people talking to her or whatever. But the four or five stories she told are so good that like you didn't care. You're like, this is great. Thank God she was a part of this. And Common.
She's hilarious.
Amazing.
Common, he's the lowest speaking of the group. He's the softest voice of the group. But when Common talks, because his voice is so different than Joe's and Lucy's and Kate's and mine, you can't help but there's a shift in the show and you're listening like in a different way than you were listening before because Common's all like professor-like now.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really cool. It's a cool process, but what I realized is you don't see my bald spot. I should have dyed my hair. But, I mean, it's stuff like, you know, I realized I look way better than I should. And that's because you're directors and you're editors. And, you know, so I kind of feel like acting, even though that's something I do and you do. So bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I like to call it the happy accident, right? Like,
right.
It's a happy accident.
You're right.
It
right.
happens to come together with the right intention, the right feeling, the right,
right
way of saying the line. If the camera just happens to be rolling on that take,
when
the
you watch Haven
perfect.
Or Bullet in the Face,
yeah.
and they take one bit from one take yeah. that you thought was a garbage take and a garbage bit, and it ended up working really
yeah.
well, doesn't that blow your mind?
Yeah, yeah.
totally.
Where you're
totally.
Like, they scalpeled that out
yes.
of a terrible
yeah.
take.
I am such a because, small part of
and
this
and I look
process.
Great now.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, and because I went to film school, there's a real underlying like appreciation and respect for that too. Because I know
it's
how
crazy.
Hard it is.
It's
I've
crazy.
Tried to cut.
Editors,
I've tried to edit.
Editors, in Ooh. My mind, are the most the important people shun. On the sh- on the. Yeah, they're magicians, yeah. but the great thing about editing is they can take a good shoot and make it look great.
Yeah.
They can take an okay shoot and make it look good. Yeah. They can take a bad movie and make it good. Woody
yeah.
Allen, Annie Hall.
Right.
Annie Hall was 2 hours and 40
That's
minutes,
right.
and
it
then
so
his editor comes
cool.
in, cuts it up, makes it funnier.
Boom.
Woody gets the Oscar for
yeah.
Best Director. He doesn't even get nominated for Best Editor.
I better mention
no.
him on the podium, did he say?
No, I don't think Woody.
He didn't go to the Oscars.
Yeah, Woody's been to the Oscars only twice, I believe.
Twice, yeah.
It was twice Woody's been. And it was the one after 9/11.
Like 6 years ago,
it was
yes.
after 9/11.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
then another one in the 70s he went once.
Oh,
I don't remember
kidding.
It was for Annie Hall or for Manhattan. It was
after,
for something.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did go once, and then he'd never go again.
Yeah, I just saw the documentary.
Hate the
Oscars. I like that.
Yeah.
I hate the Oscars.
Oh, hello.
What's the line on the number of times the cameraman will cut to Spike Lee anytime anything black is mentioned or anyone comes on?
I know. Oh, that's the best part, too, about being in this editing room. So anytime, and I hate to bust Joe on this, but anytime Joe Carnahan talks about anything black, he looks at Common.
Oh, shut up.
He does. He does. And Dermot even calls him out on it, I think,
Hilarious.
At one point.
Well, Joe and Lucy are very spirited, but the moment Common opens, he's just like, well, Matthew, I feel that being
I know.
On set is... Like, you're like,
I
yes,
know.
Wipe down. Yes, I love that.
I know. I thought he should be wearing like a cardigan and
yeah.
a pair of glasses. And
yeah,
like,
he should have a swilling a brandy glass.
He was so smart.
So
he was
cool.
so smart.
Smooth.
I will say this. Favreau's show was one thing, but if you compare Favreau's pilot to our pilot, blow it out of the water. Blow it out of the water. I would go on record saying that. Killed
Sorry,
it.
John.
Tell me about Lucy. I love Lucy Lawless.
She's out of her mind.
In the best
yeah,
way.
She's out of her mind.
In the best
yeah,
way.
Yeah, sure, in the best way. Whatever.
Well, this
sure.
is cool. This
I
is...
saw her sing. I saw her sing at the Roxy, I believe.
Is that when her boobs fell out?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
A friend of mine is a huge fan of hers, and we went together to see
and
her
Jason
sing.
Jason Gantz, by the way,
no
is about
idea.
To come on. But yeah, go ahead.
I had no idea.
She can sing. She's a good singer.
Yeah,
and
she's
also crazy.
And,
I love Lucy. I love
hilarious.
Lucy. But Lucy speaks her mind for sure.
yeah.
For sure. And she would not mind having a glass of wine or two while doing it.
Yeah.
Nice.
She's great. She's great. Yeah, she was really... She tells this story in the pilot that about giving birth that's just out of
oh.
this world.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably remember from being at the shoot. Caesar
right.
probably remembers.
And she was very spirited.
It comes off
before,
great
before
on camera.
Before she was so rowdy that we had to leave the
that's
hotel.
That's really necessary, I find, because one of my best friends had a kid a while back, and we've been chatting about some of the things they don't tell you, like that
right.
you're inside
right.
out.
Yeah, right.
Nobody mentions that.
Well, I also like the fact, but see, that's the kind of stuff I wanted to talk about in the pilot, too. I didn't want it just to be all about business.
Right.
I wanted to be able to talk about
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
And that was cool. I'm
the
glad. I'm
life.
Glad we could do that. And it's coming together. It's just the first cut. It won't be done for a few weeks, but I mean, it's looking really great.
Not
and
bad.
It's such a cool process to watch your like. You know, your creation just come alive.
Yeah.
Your Frankenstein.
Exactly. Dream it from nothing.
Isn't
and then
crazy?
It becomes something.
Yeah.
It is insane. Every time I make a painting, I literally...
That's
I,
right, because you
I
do a lot of art.
Shock. Yeah, I literally have a shock
And
reaction
when it's done, you're like...
Of, that wasn't there before and now it is.
Yeah.
And it's just still weird to me. I guess if I ever lose that enthrallment with the magic of that, then maybe that's when I'll stop creating. But
that's so funny.
It makes me happy.
Because I feel the same way. That's just so funny.
Yeah.
Like, I've been working 15 years at doing this, and, like, you finally get something made, and you watch it come to life, and you're like, wow. It doesn't lose the luster.
Exactly.
It doesn't lose the luster.
Exactly.
You figure, like, everything else in L.A. Hi, Jason. How are you? Do you got a
Jason.
Mic there?
Great.
You're good.
Hey.
Okay. How you doing?
How
Jason and Wilfred.
Yeah.
Hey.
A.K.A.
That's a big deal. A.K.A.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, because that is, like, the role you are definitely known for, do people just call you Wilfred?
Sometimes, yeah, I answer to that.
You answer to it?
In Australia, I've got another character that's more well-known than Wilfred, so it's kind of strange. But over here, I'm Wilfred, yeah.
You can always gauge when a fan is latched on by what reference they're making.
Yeah, I had two different types of fans in Australia. There's the sporting jock, which is the fan of my other character, and the Wilfred fans was the sort of the dreadlock tattooed, you know, bong smoking. And they would actually... sometimes argue quite over me when I'd go out to clubs, and they would be like, I'd feel like the beautiful woman that was at the bar with two dudes beating each other up. It's Mark Wary. No, it's Wilfred.
I used to have Tic Tac commercials that aired in Australia, and so for a long time I was known as the Tic Tac girl, and they apparently have a huge fan book group that broke off from the Facebook fan group for Tic Tac in general, from the Tic Tac
a breakaway
girl. That was the Australian contingent of the Tic Tac girl fan page, and so yeah, now
I love the passion in Australia.
Yeah,
we're
passionate about our Tic Tacs and our TV stars.
That's right.
So talk to me about this. Okay, I know Wilfred was a short film you did in Australia, correct?
Yeah.
And then it turned into a series here.
So you're like the only person who's made a calling card that actually worked and got a series.
Something like that,
that's
yeah.
Amazing.
Sure,
well,
so how'd you pull that off?
Well, 2002, we made a short film, and it won festivals all around the world, short film festivals, and it had two screenings at Sundance in 2003. And it opened before a David Arquette feature film, and David was actually became a big fan of Wilfred.
Good.
And back in 2003, he was talking about trying to get it made into a TV show over here. But actually, we made a TV show in Australia first of Wilfred.
Right.
We did two seasons of eight episode seasons.
Right.
So we did 16 there, and we kind of felt like we were done with that. And I came over here and used Wilfred as a calling card. And my other show, Mark Loves Sharon, I brought these two DVDs over, and I had some meetings. And my goal was just to sort of hopefully be a staff writer on a show that I could sell format rights
to. Amazing.
And instead, everyone just said, you've got to be in this stuff.
This.
But I'd said I wasn't going to do Wilfred again. And so when my manager called me up in Australia, I was shooting Wilfred in Australia, and I was done with it. And he said, look, I know you don't want to be the dog again. And I said, I'm not getting in that freaking dog suit again, you know.
Oh, the dog suit is cute.
In the end, he said, look, it's kind of like you're Mork and Mindy, you know, like the alien, the dog. If it goes well, you could, you know, design your career like Robin Williams. I'm like, I love Mork and Mindy. So I said, if you can sell it, I'll be in it. He sold it. I'm in it.
So what did your manager do? He just calls up FX. He shows them, you know, obviously it's successful in Australia, so he's like, there's a built-in fan base, whatever. Mm-hmm. But does he just show him some of the episodes, show FX some of the episodes, and go, let's do this here, or what?
Yeah, well, they put together a marketing sort of a sizzle reel of some of the funniest stuff, but focusing on the physical humor of Wilfred rather than the Australian, dialogue. But also, before even doing that, we recruited David Zuckerman as our showrunner, who's one of the creators of Family Guy. And it was important that we get the right guy at the helm to do kind of to have that hybrid mix of what was clearly my strong Australian sense of humor, but also around that, and someone had a good idea of American comedic vernacular. So he
translation going on.
So it was just a really great. You know, David came back to us with this fresh interpretation of what Wilfred was as well, which was in the Australian version. We didn't go into the dark psychology of what is Wilfred too much.
Right.
We just Wilfred, he was there, and the guy had to deal with it, you know.
So it's
to me, it feels like a new show.
At what point then does Elijah Wood get involved? Is it after the show gets picked up?
Yeah, I mean, after the show had been picked up on the pilot. I mean, first it gets picked up to go to script. So there was a few drafts of the pilot script, and then when it got picked up to go to pilot, my manager Jeff Quatnetz, I got to call him out. You know, I mean, he just can do this. He can do this magic stuff. You know, and he actually got the script to another actress. I forget who it was, but her manager is the same manager as Elijah.
Amazing.
So she said, "Look, it's not right for her, but I got another client that might like this. Can I give it to him?" And Elijah read it, and he loved it, and he. He auditioned for it, you know, like he fought for the role, and he fought hard, and when we did the final test for the final three guys, I got in the dog suit for them for the test,
because
I wanted to give them the full Wilfred experience.
Yeah, you gotta have the full effect.
And I'm standing in this dog suit, you know, on like the 30th floor of the Twin Towers in Century City with a bunch of some pretty big network executives, and I'm like, this is a joke gone too far. This is crazy. I mean, I actually started
my life
years and years ago. I actually did the idea of getting in that suit was because I was forced to do kind of children's theater for $30 a show.
Oh, wow.
And these sweaty, you know, like Australian summers in these sweaty old suits. And it's like, when we wrote The Shore, Adam said to me, "What's he going to look like?" And I'm like, I think I know what it's going to look like. I didn't want to get in that suit, but, you know, I did. And so to see myself in the mirror in this building, putting on the nose, was like, what have you done?
So, okay, you both, because Bullet in the Face, which is Alan Spencer's great series that was on IFC this summer that Kate starred in, and yourself, Wilfred, they're both dark comedies, okay? So do you have to go to dark places as an actor, or do you just have to have a sick sense of humor to not give a shit about the comedy?
Oh, look, I personally have had a very dark
right
life.
Right.
You know, I mean, thankfully, I'm you know, in these sort of more mature years, I've come out the other side.
But by it honestly.
Yeah, but it is a lot. I mean, when my close friends in Australia first saw the short film, they just said, "That's just you in a suit, your dog." You know? And so, but these days, you know, I'm glad to say that it's a lot more sort of sense memory rather than like, these are my demons that I'm trying to exercise.
Was it the same for you? You're just so laid back and
I gotta say it's a combination of the two, because I definitely have the dark stuff to draw on, but I also just don't take myself seriously. So, you know, when you're ripping off a fake pregnancy belly and pulling out an Uzi to mow down Eric Roberts in the full room, what else are you gonna do but laugh?
<That's>
right?
and you do have to laugh at yourself as well. Like
exactly.
I'm, you know, like a lot of my stuff is, you know, I'm making fun of me.
Sure,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. In your...
I met Fiona actually at a party a while back, and she was talking about how she was so excited that the humor fell in line with her humor.
Yeah, yeah.
And booking something, it doesn't necessarily always mean that it's going to be something that you love. And she was just like, she couldn't stop going on about how freaked out she was that she loves the show and she gets to be on it.
Yeah,
I mean, that is
a
dream come true for an actor. So a little bit of Bullet in the
Face.
Great. That's what happened with me there. Yeah.
You liked Alan's work? You liked Sledgehammer and stuff?
No.
Yeah? That's cool.
What was it like working with Eric Roberts?
Oh, he's hilarious.
And Eddie Izzard.
And Eddie, yeah, they're both. I mean, they're such heavy hitters that I came to it being such a newbie, and I was really a little bit freaked out. You know, how is this going to go?
Was Eric Roberts high all the time?
No, not at all. But he's hilarious. Like, I would pay him a
Was it post Celebrity Rehab? I forgot he was on that.
Yeah,
that's
right. It was after. He would do things like I would pay him a compliment. That's sort of who I am. I notice things about people. And he just literally shut me down. "You don't have to do that with me. You don't have to do that with me." And I was just looking at him going, "Oh, okay, I won't." But, you know, 2 seconds later, he's laughing hysterically. Just a total treat.
When we were actually casting for Wilfred, there was another very high-profile actor who was going for the role. and he had the DUI, and he had to go into rehab.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, bummer. I mean, I didn't think he was perfect, right for the role, but, you know, it's great that he liked it, but it's a bummer that he had to go to rehab.
Yeah.
Then we were looking at casting Eric Roberts as, like, the bully next
really?
Door.
Yeah.
And then he went to rehab.
Oh, shit.
And as we were in edit suite, as we were cutting together the pilot, I said, Ash, we got the rehab curse.
Yeah, yeah.
3 months, 2 months later, no. I was in rehab.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, really?
Yeah. It happens in threes.
That's funny. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Called it.
Well, no, I had no idea I was going to go.
You said you're a big fan of Mork and Mindy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Robin's been on the show. You got to work with Robin.
Yeah.
Okay. Robin also is a guy who had a rehab.
Yeah.
Did you connect to Robin both personally and professionally, and is that why you're such a big fan of his?
We instantly connected exactly as you described it. The first thing he said to me when I met him was, it's an honor. And I said,
wow.
I just got goosebumps. Look at the goosebumps.
I couldn't believe it.
I have goosebumps.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said, the honor is mine. And he said, it's mutual. And he was already a fan of the show. I'd found out through Elijah, who promoted Happy Feet too with him, that him and his wife were a big fan of the show. So that's why we like had to come up with something for him. And I went into the writer's room when I found that out, and I said to David, we've got to find something for Robin Williams. And he said, well, look, we've pretty much written everything. I don't think, like, we've broken the stories. I said, no, you don't understand.
No,
we've got to find something for Robin Williams. Right? But when we went on there, but I told him a little bit about my story,
a bit
of background, and he told me something, opened up and told me something about him that was a parallel. And it was really like we just connected on a level. Like I felt like he was an older version of me.
Yeah.
I actually had the second. He was only on set for 2 days.
You're not quite as hairy. I'm just going to put that out
I'm
there
because
it's radio.
You haven't seen it my back. but yeah, he was there for 2 days, and I had a very rare day off of acting on the second day.
Ooh.
And it meant going into like the Easter weekend. And he'd said to me, what are you going to do for your long week, for your that day off tomorrow? And I said, I'm coming in to watch you. And he's like, you can't do that. He's like, he knew how hard I'd been working. He said, you got to have a holiday. I said, I said I'd only be sitting at home watching Mork and Mindy reruns anyway. I said, look, my childhood hero is acting in my show.
Yeah.
I would pay money
this
to come and see you
yeah.
act. And so I came in that day and you know, looking at the split screens
yeah.
of that, I took a screenshot on my phone of the split of Elijah and Robin in between scenes just
wow.
chatting, and I'm like, is this for real? Is this like really Robin Williams and Elijah Wood in my show? And I turned to the people around me and I was just like, am I on this? Am I usually on this screen? And they're like, yeah, normally you're on there. And I'm like, this is amazing. But it was really one of those, you know, people ask you what are the highlights of your career and things that stand out. But that's really hard to top that day.
That's so cool. And I mean, FX, what do they give you, like, full creative control over whatever you need to do, or do they have ideas, or what? How does
FX
work?
They're pretty good. I mean, they're fantastic. I mean, I think all the guys on all the shows at FX have got. We don't have like Louis's long leash.
Right.
Louis is allowed to do whatever he wants.
Sure.
And you know, and now they're a lot more. In the early days, they're a lot more hands on. You know, wanting to make sure that we get it right. But they're very trusting.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So when you're putting together this season that you're doing now, like how long does that take to put together? Like how many writers are working on the show? Like what's this like? How long are you in pre-production for a season?
Generally, we'll write for 3 months and then we'll shoot for 3 months.
How many writers?
There's about, I think we've got about 12 writers mm-hmm. at the moment.
So you guys aren't writing while you're shooting then?
They are still writing.
Okay.
I leave the writer's room when there's probably about three or four weeks
wow.
left of shooting. But pretty much we've got the first block of scripts,
sure.
the first half of the scripts.
But you're still writing all the while that you're
Yes. Last season two, I deliberately pulled back a little bit more, but I found.
Do you miss sleep? Do you remember what it was like?
Season one, I went from crazy long hours in the writer's room, and I left one day and went to do even more crazy hours on set, and it nearly killed me. Like, after I finished Wilfred, I couldn't work on anything. I couldn't even think of writing or working on anything for a couple of months. Like, this is burnout.
Yeah. Were you one of those guys? Because I feel like we have similar personalities, so I'm just guessing here. But yeah, right. I know. So I feel like when you first got this show, you had to be hands-on with everything. Did you have to learn to step back and let other people trust other people to do the job?
That's exactly what happened. And I mean, David and I, for all of our love of each other, we have some heated arm wrestles in that writer's room, and especially in that first season, because it's like, I'm the dickhead in the dog suit,
represent the show, you're the face.
It's why the casting of Elijah was just so important, because some of the other actors, it was more like sort of a network sitcom, and the tonally, it's very important that you're not, whoever that actor is, isn't fighting me comedically. Because you might think you got the two best comedians in the world on screen together, it's going to be magic, but it isn't necessarily that way.
It's almost great that you cast an actor, actor, because they let you have your comedic spotlight.
Yeah, and we just were like family together. Instantly, just a rapport. Yeah.
And he's just so in the moment, exactly, because he's that actor, that's where that humor is going to bounce off.
But I did come into this show knowing that I didn't want to make the same show again. So I knew I was, to a certain degree, handing the baby over. But after season one, I finally went, okay, I can really actually trust the people around
me. Especially the writing process. Well, for you to leave the writing room for that 3 weeks, I mean, the first time that had to be like, you're calling, checking in.
But there'd be days where a script would turn up or some extra pages would turn up that I hadn't read, and is one of the great joys of my American career is that work comes up, like scripts come up to me, and I'm reading them, and they're in Wilfred's voice, and it's as if it could have been written by me, and I'm like, and I'm laughing, and I'm like, I love not having to have written this, it's just such a load off to know that I don't have to do all the heavy lifting. I mean. In Australia, I wrote it with another guy, everything. There's just two of us.
Just the two of you.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was going to ask. The difference, again, between the big American production machine and anything in any other country, pretty much.
Yeah.
As being Canadian, we always have a huge respect for the film and television coming out of Australia, because it's a little similar story in terms of being, that far off, far-flung Queens country, whatnot. Yeah. We have the neighbor right there. The America is just so big and so right next to us that you guys retain your voice because you do have an island helping you out with an ocean around you,
Yeah.
But it's
we've been privy to like generations of the best of American television. So like we've grown up on that.
Yep.
There's so much of American culture is ingrained in our society, but we don't. It's not right next door to us.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's actually why so many Australians do so well over here and just sort of glide in to the, particularly actors, but assuming like the character, the accents and things like that. Whereas most Americans take a long time to get an Australian accent because then they don't grow up with it.
New Zealand has an issue with Australia.
Oh, totally.
Big Brother
totally.
Is right
it's
there,
exactly
and then that.
That
becomes Canada.
It is exactly
really
that.
Interesting.
Yeah, they hate it.
Overshadowed.
New Zealanders hate being confused for Australians.
Oh, you've heard
so
that.
When you
but we don't care. It's like, whatever. I know I'm Australian. But they're like, no, we're not Australian. And from what I hear, Canadians are the same. I'm not American.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's funny.
But you know who's on top when that happens.
Did they want you to stay Australian for the character on the show, or because I mean it is funnier that way in a way?
Yeah, like Jeff said in that original pitch meeting with FX, someone asked, "Why is he Australian?" and was having an Australian accent, and Jeff said, "Don't you know all dogs have Australian accents?" And he just said, "I don't have a comeback for that."
That's a great response.
And you know what? It's never come up again since.
That's right.
But how's your American accent?
Yeah, work in progress.
The guys in the writers' room always like I'm always like doing like are we gonna get some internet services? Internet services, and they're like, no one says internet services. And I'm like, yes.
Dodgy.
But yeah, what were we saying?
No. That sums that up. That sums that up.
Oh, yeah, about the Australian accent, but you know, it wasn't brought up again since I was nervous about it whether it would work, and I was kind of pleasantly surprised when audiences.
I think it works more.
Yeah.
I think it works more because I think it's for a lot of people watching the show. I don't think this is news to you, but you know you have your pothead audience for sure.
Yeah.
There's a certain segment at least of people that watch probably find it funny because they're like, the dog's fucking talking Australian.
Yeah.
The dog's fucking British.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I just think I thought it was interesting because I actually think even if you had a fight for it, it's a better choice to do it that way.
Look, it was, you know, and on that subject, when I mentioned that I said I wasn't going to get in the dog suit again. Like, I was coming here with a different show. You know, the first day we had to do stills and marketing photography before we shoot the series. And I was in my trailer, and it was in on Venice Beach, and I was looking at that suit hanging up on the thing, and I just thought, I don't want to get in that suit one more time again in my life. I've just signed on for 6 years, right? The longest I've ever done is 8 episodes. I'm about to do 13, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I got down on my knees and I prayed. I prayed, and I was like, please, God, help me find a way to love this.
Do you take the mirrors out of your trailer?
well, then I go outside. I go outside and I get in the suit and I'm like in misery. And then I'm about to. The crew were fantastic, but then there was this Australian dude and he's like, Wilfred, and he's like, man, and it reminded me of how much love there is for
that's
the character.
Good.
All right,
that's
even
good.
It was in Australia, aww. and it was kind of like my prayers were answered. I'm like, yeah. And you know, from that day on, I mean, I complain sometimes when it's hot and it's getting summer,
degrees,
but
yeah.
I never begrudge being in that suit because like you were saying, it's about like laughing at yourself,
yeah.
Right?
Like to be able to make people happy. Is what comedy is all about,
right?
And if my getting in a dog suit is bringing joy to a lot of people's lives, and I know it does, because they communicate that to me, then shit, there's a lot worse.
Sometimes with the dog suit on.
Sometimes we get selfish and forget what comedy is all about, though. And you know, I mean, a lot of comedic actors, you know, get known for doing certain things, whether it be physical comedy, like Melissa McCarthy right now. She's doing a lot of physical comedy. And, you know, they
use her. I'd
like to say
my battleship scene was first.
Yes.
So.
But, but she uses her weight and she uses her body as physical comedy. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, like Chris Farley did, I remember Chris Farley was miserable after Beverly Hills Ninja. Yeah.
Right.
And he didn't want to play the fat, funny guy anymore. And he wanted to do a movie about Fatty Arbuckle.
Right.
And, there is a part of you that wants to be artistic and creative, but there's a part of you that also sometimes remembers, the reason everyone loves me is I make them laugh.
Yeah.
And, you know.
A friend of mine in Australia once came to me and he said, I'm sick of always being a clown. You know, people want to put me in these stupid suits and like tights because I'm a funny body and all that sort of stuff. I said, what would you rather be? Like, you want to be on General Hospital? You want to be some hunk that's like pouting, squinting at the camera? Like, I said, there's worse things in life than being a clown, mate. I said, I'm a clown. He's like, you're not a clown. I said, look at me. I'm in a dog suit.
Then he slipped on a banana peel and fell to a giant pie.
Yeah, right. So how does Robin Williams pull it off, you think? How did he pull off being such a great comedian for so long? And, I mean, he just wasn't a great comedic actor. He was doing stand-up and selling out everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And then going into dramatic acting with, you know, for instance, like Good Morning Vietnam. Why did people still respond to him the same? Do you know? Do you think you know?
I spoke to him about – I mean, I told him the story about how – Jeff had said to me, you should be able to design your career like Robin Williams. And he laughed at that, like, yeah, like, I really did that.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, he had some, some flops as well. I mean, after he did Popeye, so I brought up Popeye because I remembered him in Popeye. And I loved him in that.
It was Popeye.
It was really dark. Not what he expected at all, but it wasn't received well. And he said he really thought his film career was over then. So, I mean, I think so much is about different opportunities and timing. I think the dramatic actors are quite often the best comedy actors are also very good.
It's funny, you can't control your career path because everyone always says, like, I met with the manager the other day and they go, well, where do you want to be with your career and blah, blah, blah. But the problem is once you get one gig, you start getting other opportunities, other offers, and that one goal you had that was so specific, not going to get there because you're getting all these other opportunities.
Yeah.
It's hard.
The time, the only thing an actor can really say when it comes to control over their career is no.
Right.
Is saying no to things.
Right.
That's not even a
if you're
positive,
lucky enough.
Yeah. You know,
if you're lucky
yeah,
enough
exactly,
to say no.
Because exactly.
If you're an actor, you say yes.
Yeah.
So, so in your mind, you said you, all right, so originally, you didn't want to come here and do Wilford again. You did. You're happy you did it. It's a hit. It's doing really well. You got now an American audience, an Australian audience. Things are going well. But do you still have that set in your mind that you want to do something else? You're going to start doing other things, too, while in the off time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just wrote a script for ABC that didn't go to pilot. I'm a writer now. That's kind of what my first.
Are you
love
a writer
is.
First? Yeah.
Yeah. If okay. everything else fell away, I mean, I'm just kind of living out of a dream I forgot I had. Actually, you know, when I came here, I thought if I was a staff writer on a show, I'd be happy. And so now I'm starring in the show. It's kind of like I had to go back to that 21-year-old actor that left acting school and thought, what would he do with this opportunity? And so I'm just riding this out for as long as I can. But the moment people are sick of me, I'm not going to be like crying and saying, you know, how can I reinvent myself? I'll be like, well, now I go into phase two of my career, which is creating and producing things. And then I can, you know, I think that could afford me the luxury of going for those roles, those Good Morning Vietnam roles,
yeah, right.
something that
yeah,
could surprise yeah, people out, yeah. out of the blue and go, wow,
what Oscar? Here you go. Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think I don't expect that I'll have that desperation of like, oh my God, I've got to be acting in something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So
I'm willing to bet that you probably couldn't physically stop yourself from keeping creating new things just because that. I think creators have that in them, where they take their lives and they transform it into that other thing. Right?
It's amazing.
You couldn't really do anything else, could
yeah.
you? Like,
yeah.
you don't want to, not just want to, because I think about this all the time. I'm like, I wish I could do something else because this business is so hard.
I
want to be a cop, but I can't.
Or am I in this business because I can't see myself doing anyone
sure.
else?
Yeah, right.
Well, there's one thing that I sometimes, when I'm in the middle of doing drafts, I've just got network notes and I just feel like I really don't know what I'm doing. I talk about going back to Queensland. And basically, it's a brand, but you go and you mow people's lawns.
Right.
And it's like... And I said, if I go back to Australia, I'm not going back to the business. I'm getting a Jim's lawn mower.
I say that all the time.
And I'm going to be in the sun, and I'm going to mow some lawns, and I'm going to, you know, someone's going to give me a cold lemonade with some ice in it at the back in between with the lawnmower running, and then I'm just going to get back to my job.
I think about that all the time. I would be a cab driver. That's one
right.
thing I was like, man, I would be a cab driver.
At meetings all week, I said if this show fails, this pilot I just shot, if it fails, I'm going to go home, I'm going to work at 7-Eleven. I'm just going to go back to 7-Eleven, and that's going to be my life. Slurpees and fucking EBT cards. And
I wish mine were as cool as all of your ideas, but painting. Painting
yeah,
is really
so you're
fascinating.
Just an artist.
I know, but here's the thing, is that I decided, because I'm a girl in Hollywood, I had to try the acting thing now before my face slid down to my
I thought you were going to say because you're a girl in Hollywood, you could just marry a rich guy in paint.
Oh, God, right? If I get one more person telling me to do that.
You can just marry a rich guy in paint. Just
so,
paint.
So you think she's an artist. You think my lawn mowing wouldn't have some artistic capability? Like,
I think
I'd
be
a lawn artist.
Yeah, you would carve the MTV logo in someone's lawn, I'm sure.
You could do topiary.
Yeah, right.
They'd be like, the customers would be like, he's been out there for 4 hours on that lawn. It's like, it's got to be right.
Isn't mowing a lawn, though, something, there's something very serene about it, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't need, I remember when my dad, I went to college, and my dad's like, no, I got these guys that come by and cut the lawn now. And I was kind of bummed out.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, you suck at it anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I'm still bummed out because I'm like, there's that 50-minute window where you're just walking and all you hear is the grass cutting and that electric mower. And there's something so relaxing about it.
And the smell of that.
Yeah,
the grass smell is great. And you kind of get a workout.
I need them to bottle the fresh.
I kind of want to cut a lawn now.
No. I want a lawn.
I know.
I want
you don't have the lawn yet?
No, I've got no lawn. Well, there's a little bit of a lawn out the front. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But I want to get my own lawn one day.
That's so great. And, you know, you've had other great people on this show, too. Like, I mean, you worked with Mary Steenburgen, who's amazing.
Oh, I love her.
Like, how do you guys get all these people involved? Because I know how Justified works on FX. And I know they don't really have the budget to pay, you know, when Steven Root, acting school at Nick Searcy on YouTube. You got to check it out. It's great. But Steven Root was on this week's episode with Nick, and he jokes about how he did Justified for scale.
Yeah.
But he probably did.
Yeah.
So how do you get these guys to come work for you for nothing? They love the show that much, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, I'd have to – I'm speculating, but I'd say that Elijah being attached has got some cachet instantly that says, well, you know, like – it's his first TV show he's ever done, and it's
exactly for him to step into TV. It's got to be a good TV.
They generally need to see a couple of episodes. And I mean, Robin was the perfect situation where he was a fan of the show. Mary was the same.
Nice.
She said that Ted Danson, her husband, was like jealous that she was coming to work on the show. But,
tell him he can probably come too.
Well, we tried to get him this year, but he was unavailable. But it's. Like, but we started getting spoiled then, and it's kind of like,
we should get.
And I'm like, we can do better than him. It's like, who are you? Just get in the dog suit, dude.
That's good. I was thinking that. I was wondering if, like, now for the third and fourth, you know, for the upcoming seasons, if you're going to be like, well, let's go get Clooney.
Yeah.
I'll call him. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I'll call him.
Yeah. I mean, we've been really lucky.
That's great. That's
do
great.
Do people reach out to you specifically telling you, like, I was
wondering people got to bother you to do the show.
How do other famous people tell other famous people that they like their work? On Twitter? Like, when?
I a little bit on Twitter. There's there's that she plays Jillian on Workaholics. But she's fantastic, and we were friends on Twitter, and we both mutually, you know, said hi.
Yeah.
We love each other's work, and she said she'd love you on the show. And we might have something for her this year, but
that's great.
It
really does.
I still have a very small, relatively small Twitter presence that my publicists talking to me about.
Oh, yeah, well, you need to work on that. Yes, yes, we need to get that Twitter out through the. What is your Twitter? Is it at
Jason
Dan?
Yeah. I mean, well, years ago, an old agent about 10 years ago when Twitter first came out, thankfully, she said, like, get your name. Like, even though you may never use it, other people will take your name. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So people are often surprised, like most. Actors can't use just their name.
Shout out to my web guy in Australia, Dominic, because he has always had my back about stuff like that. And when I first moved to Los Angeles was when Facebook was first starting, and Facebook actually has the number one country of, you know, the most people who are members from a country is Canada.
Right.
And I was laughing because, 7 months out of the year, your socializing is done online because it's too cold to go outside.
Yeah, okay.
But it was the perfect way to keep in touch with friends, right? But it was only because my web guy was like, so you need to get your name over here, your name over here, save that, save this, save the other thing. Yeah.
When I was at college years ago, I mean, this is many years ago, like 20 years ago, my sister... We had to do as a university degree, and we had to do computers as a core subject. Everyone at the university had to do it. And I used to say, I'm never going to use fucking computers. What am I going to use computers for? I'm an actor. She's like, Jason, everyone's going to be using computers. This is the very early 90s. And it's like, I'm
Gene
never going to do...
Roddenberry was right.
I failed it twice before I finally passed it. It was like, if I failed it, I was failed the whole course. And I crammed and I just got through it. Now, I know more about computers than her. And I'm just like, oh, that's so funny.
So you guys return in June, right? What's the date on it? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. No. It's okay. Probably, I mean,
make it on my birthday.
Sometime in June.
June
20th. It's just going to be June.
Yeah, just June. Well, it'll be on a Thursday night, I think. So
there
you
go.
Fall on, it'll probably, oh, last year was the 10th, so it'll be roughly around about there.
Do you even know who you're going to be scheduled with? What other shows are on then?
Well, you know, Louis's not here this year.
Right.
So
he's taking a year off. That's what I'm at. Yeah.
So, no, I don't. I think it might be. I don't need to be
probably
speculating.
Probably a new show. Mm-hmm. Probably, because I know they got other comedies in development over there. And
but you'll probably get shot for speculating, so we won't.
Yeah,
that's true.
I've learned
we don't want to be completely wrong. We don't want to be completely wrong. So because you have your show on FX, do you get to, like, hobnob with guys like Louis C.K.? And, like, is there FX events you go to?
Well, you know what? I'm a massive UFC fan.
Yeah, right. Me too.
I've been a fight fan for
so many
years. In Australia, I never missed a UFC pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And when I was moving to America, that was what I was most excited about. It's like, I am actually going to be
3.5 hours from Vegas.
I don't know when. I know what. I will be at the UFC one day.
Hey, isn't one of the best guys Canadian? The
George St. Pierre. Yeah. So, and now, you know, like FX, of course, have got like so many rights now to the Ultimate Fighter and stuff. And so I get like front seat tickets.
Do you go to the MGM then? You go to the MGM Grand and see
any,
the fight?
I'm a regular.
I'm kind of jealous.
And the guys from Sons of Anarchy are often there, and they're big fight fans as well. So that was kind of amazing. Yeah.
I love UFC. Who's your guy right now? Who's the best?
Well, I mean, I saw Anderson Silva defend his title twice.
He's
now.
Great.
And I was a massive Anderson Silva fan, and I hated Charles Sonnen. But now I've turned around.
Okay. I used to hate him.
Yeah.
I used to hate him. He talks a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And he sometimes talks out of his ass, too. But I kind of dig him now.
He's funny.
I used to hate him, though.
I was exactly the same. I hate him. And now I think he's like up there with my top favorite fighters. When he lost to Silva, I was at that fight.
Yeah.
And when he lost to Silva, I actually thought he handled it quite graciously. And as a result, I kind of felt sorry. I was actually backstage and I saw him walking straight past me. Broken, like defeated, and it was just like, oh my god, he's a man. He's actually a real person. Now.
Your network sends you front row of pay per views. My network hooks me up with stolen pay per view on my computer, and I watch all my UFC there.
Right, and your wrestling and
yeah,
all that
my wrestling.
Stuff.
Right. Right, all my sweaty men rolling around together.
Yeah.
I get it all on the internet, where you can get
tanned,
sweaty men
well-oiled,
rolling around
muscular
together.
Legs.
Yeah. George St. Pierre, you like St. Pierre?
The MGM
Look, Grand. I'm not a St. Pierre fan. I don't dislike him, but I've got a photo with Carlos. He just fought him most recently.
A couple of weeks
ago.
And
also, like, I'm Dominic Cruz. I'm friends with. He's actually a Wilfred fan.
Yeah.
So when I met him,
that's funny.
We were at an FX Fox launch, and it was the first year, well, last year, the first year that FX were doing Ultimate Fighter, and he was one of the coaches, and one of the guys at FX said, Cruz is a fan of yours. I'm like, I'm a fan of his.
Right.
So now whenever we see each other, the fights, we're always like, shout out.
Did you watch UFC back in the beginning?
Look, I saw
Ken Shamrock and Tank Abbott and the Gracies.
I saw some stuff one night. I was drunk, and a guy took me back to his house to watch something.
It's a lot slower, right?
And he put it on, and I was kind of like, the brutality of it really kind of shocked me.
The rules changed.
Yeah.
I mean, it got safer now, but I mean, back then it was the original UFC, the first like 10, 15 pay-per-views, and they'd only do one every like couple months back then.
Yeah.
10, 15 pay-per-views, they're brutal.
Yeah.
They're brutal, and there's nobody better than watching like Royce Gracie fight early Ken Shamrock.
I love with Royce Gracie, he'd win, but he wouldn't let go.
Right,
and they'd be
like,
they're like, let him go.
Right,
and there's some dude's arms being ripped out of its like shoulder socket, and he's like, he'd hold on for a lot longer than you'd think was reasonable.
Boss Rutten, I mean, that was the day for me. I love that.
But I mean,
I grew up on that. Go ahead. Did you have a UFC comment? You don't know shit about UFC.
I don't
know. You're ruining my UFC talk.
I was going to talk about
with your bullshit talk.
I was going to talk about the MGM Grand and how that's, if you're going to have a fight
there.
That's
the worst buffet ever, and that's all you know about the MGM Grand.
No, it's, if you're going to have fights there, that's the place to do it, because I was just in Vegas this weekend, and we were hanging out at the MGM, and we saw like three fights there, just random people fighting.
In
the casino.
In front of Emerald.
Yes, just like, yeah.
See, no, yeah.
Those are called brawls. They're not fights.
So do you like, you get, does FX like fly you into Vegas, or do you like do the drive,
no,
or what?
I think the Sons of Anarchy guys might get flown.
They may get flown in, yeah.
But I am, what is it, MOW. Make own way.
Make your own way.
Make own way.
So they tell you,
get some anonymity in the dogs.
They tell you, Mr. Gann, we have a great opportunity for you. We have free tickets to UFC, MGM Grand, front row, MOW.
Exactly.
And what's MOW? You're going to have to drive yourself.
Right.
Hotel taken care of? No. Could you drive back that night, actually?
Yeah. To be fair, when that's when they're in Vegas, when there was the first Fox UFC event was at Pasadena, where Disneyland is.
Yeah, Anaheim, yeah.
And yeah, they sent a limousine.
That's nice. But when you're in Vegas, they make you hit up like Ron Perlman if you need a room to stay in for the night. You can call Ron. I don't know if he's got extra beds.
Well, the thing is,
they'll give you a subcompact and a driver.
Right.
I'm not as recognizable on the street as Sons of Anarchy guys as well. And I think also they rate probably an extra couple of million to us.
By the way, I know you must hate hearing about ratings and stuff, but my producer sends me something that I totally forgot about that I think's great. Is Wilfred does, not only is it getting like 2.5 million views an episode, which is great, and this is cable and everything, but 1.7 of them are 18 to 49. You have a great young audience. I mean, that's got to be exciting for you to know that young people love you.
Look, I right now, to be honest, I have kind of switched off from that. I don't even think of it. I wish I thought of it more because it would give me a reason to get out of bed in the morning rather than drag myself out like I have to.
So what do we have to do to get you a jet and a hotel room for UFC? Do we have to raise those numbers to like 4 million?
Yeah, I reckon 4 million.
Yeah,
like
4?
Yeah.
All right.
But
we'll work on it. Wilfred, UFC. Let's hook this up.
I've dismantled my Wilfred room, but I had a Wilfred room at home, which was just filled with, you know, Wilfred paraphernalia. And,
wow.
But the walls are actually covered with fan art that they draw.
Oh, that's cool.
And some of this artwork.
Why don't you draw him a Wilfred picture?
I say
picture like you're a terrible artist or something.
Like I'm 4.
Go crayon your little, yeah.
As far as, and I've actually got an oil painting of the fan did of Wilfred. It looks like it'll outlive me. It'll be living in like the Gann estate. It'll be above a fireplace.
I have to say, Haven was the first. It's a sci-fi show, and it's the first time that I've seen fan art.
You got fan art too?
Yeah, and it was unreal. Yeah.
Man, I want the geeks to like me so much.
The things people are making are so amazing.
See, I was just wondering if you had a Wilfred room because it was too sentimental to throw away the crap, but like you had no other place for it.
Yeah.
So you just all put it in one room.
When you dismantled it, where did it go?
It was just...
I have a Matthew Aaron closet.
Yeah,
not quite a room, but a closet.
No, it was meant to be some kind of women's trap, but it scared them. It was like some kind of sex dungeon.
Did you ever bring like a date over and show her the Wilfred room?
And then when they saw the mannequin in the Wilfred suit.
Oh.
Like, with a bong gas mask on, it was like, get me out of here. Yeah, but I recently dismantled that. I thought, you know, it's time to just get on with it.
So who's someone, let's say you can go into the movie business now. Let's say you can make a movie out of this Wilfred stuff. Who's someone you want to work with? Is there a director out there that you're like in love with that you would really like to work with?
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he's the best, right?
Yeah.
And he's like
the
nicest guy ever. Have you gotten to meet him?
No.
Yeah, he's the nicest guy ever.
He's got something on FX actually he's working on.
Yeah, they got a pilot going over there.
Yeah.
That's right. And he has his new movie, Pacific Rim, coming out
yeah.
in May, I believe, with
Sons of Anarchy's Ron Perlman and Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I love that kind of dark stuff. I mean, I'm in the...
So you wouldn't mind being in a sci-fi fantasy
kind of thing. In fact, I'm thinking of developing like a sci-fi...
So cool.
A sci-fi thing, yeah. I mean, I've got other stuff. Because people are expecting comedy from me right now. Like, my other projects are generally comedy. But, yeah, you know, eventually I want to branch out and would love to do some... sci-fi kind of stuff.
That's great. That's the kind of career you want to have. Like Charlie Day's in this Pacific Rim movie. That's like when you can do cool
stuff.
Like
play a real dog man with CGI and not have to wear the suit. Like.
Right. Well, that's the kind of cool thing for you, too, as an actor. If I was your manager, your agent, or even a studio person, I think it's cool because people don't really get to know a lot of you without the suit. So it's almost like you can't get away with doing that kind of stuff and not being like, we want to see Wilfred.
Well, you know, it's been a while since I've done anything that hasn't been generated by me, like in Australia as well. Like Wilfred and Mark Wary were my two characters, and that was a full time job doing them. And so it's kind of strange. I mean, I've read for a few things, but which I haven't got. But it's going to be strange when I actually turn up on set and I don't have to worry about the script. And
your only job's to act.
Yeah.
That's going to be weird. You're just sitting around your trailer all day with nothing to do.
Bored for a
minute. What do you do in your trailer when you do have, like, free time? You got the video game set up in there?
I got the laptop on and, you know, some music playing.
No PS3 or anything, though? You don't play the video games?
Well, actually, I'm on now. I mean, I'm really into the Call of Duty Zombies.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's cool. I just suck at first person shooter games. I just can't do it.
Yeah,
I'm awful at them.
I haven't played in them, and because I found out I was so preternaturally gifted at guns during Bullet in the Face, I feel like I should now.
You're naturally really gifted at guns.
Freakishly, naturally.
I shot a gun here, not far from where we sit.
Because of your accent, I thought you almost said I shot a guy here. And I'm like, here we go.
I shot a guy.
Get the tapes rolling.
Breaking.
So wait, when did you shoot a gun here?
Well, there's a shooting gallery nearby here. Yeah.
Oh, the Burbank one. Yeah. Is that a cool place? It's by Costco. I drive by there all the time.
Yeah,
you buy the gun at Costco.
Yeah, right.
I went through there. I went there with my now wife, but it was my girlfriend at the time, and we were like, they said, you know, I haven't had an experience, but it was like, do you know how to unload a gun? Like, you know how to load it and unload it? And I'm like, yeah, I've got a kind of idea. He said, all right, well, look, just show me what that you can do it, and then you're right to go. And I was like, playing with this thing, and it was like. He's like, and he's giving me hints even.
He's telling me about buttons.
I just couldn't do it. And he's like, look, I can't let you go in, but like next time, this is what you do. And I'm like, oh, I realize just how useless I would be in a zombie apocalypse. It's like,
that was exactly my nightmare the night before. I went to go shoot because my character was actually the only one in the show that used an Uzi.
I
had to learn how to use it. And in Canada, it's illegal to fire an Uzi in any kind of gun range, right? And he was licensed to teach me how to use the Uzi, but we weren't technically allowed to use it in the space. So I had to ask people to leave, civilians, you know, the whole works. But I forgot the point.
About loading the gun.
Loading the gun. And just the fact that, like...
Give me the time, not the clock.
I know.
Right? No, I'm just kidding.
But it was just so great having a gun and shooting it. It was a lot of fun.
Was it?
I couldn't believe how strangely normal it felt, because it's the most abnormal thing in the entire universe.
Your ears ring afterwards and stuff.
Oh, you put the ear thing.
The guy behind me was firing one of those 400-foot rifles. Where I mean, it's a long-distance shot. It sounds like a sonic boom when that thing goes off, and he's right behind my head, like maybe 3 feet behind me.
Yeah.
And at a certain point in the session, my angler looks at me, and he's just sort of staring at me with his head cocked to the side. He says, that thing's fired behind you 12 times in a row, and you're not even flinching anymore.
Wow.
I don't know. My hippie mom, very confused.
Yeah. Let me ask you, because of the way FX is set up with Wilfred, like, you may not even be interested in doing this, but I'm just wondering if it's possible. Are you able to even do pilots for other networks during, like, the year? Maybe writing, but not acting,
I'm allowed to guest star on, like, one episode.
Really?
Oh, per show. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They,
okay.
Yeah, they loan you.
So you can't get a recurring role or anything, huh?
Oh, look, I might be able to negotiate like a 3-episode role on something if it was, wow, you know, off season. But, yeah, I mean, we have that same problem when we actually, HBO wouldn't give us someone.
Yeah,
season
right.
Season 1. And it was like unprecedented. It's like, why not? It's 1 episode, but it's like HBO said no to Wilfred when it was, they said no to the pitch. So we don't know if that's why, but they said to this guy, any show but Wilfred, you can't do Wilfred.
Wow. Any show but. That's insane.
Yeah, there's just 1 episode, but they wouldn't let him do it.
Because that's kind of what happened with Haven, right, is that I was doing Bullet in the Face. They didn't know whether it would get picked up for a second season, so I did. I had a cap where I could only do 5 episodes, but I don't know. They managed to work something out where I could be on the show longer.
With that guy that was over at HBO, now is he not at HBO and you're going to be able to get him on in the future?
No, that role, it was a sort of a one-off. It's, yeah, that's come and gone. And
oh,
like,
okay.
I forget the guy's name now. I know his face, but he's a great actor, and he's in some big movies. But,
so he's like a character actor that's,
yeah,
at HBO. So HBO just
really
held a grudge.
Really wanted to do it. Really wanted to do it.
It blows me away. I don't know. Hollywood really is just a big high school.
It is a big high
really
school.
Is a big
it
high
is a big high school.
School.
When we're putting together this pilot now and in the editing room and stuff, and I'm not an agent, so I don't know where the fuck I could sell it or whatever. The agents are going to do that, but you kind of sit there playing shotgun agent for a minute or shotgun manager, and you're like, well, A&E, they don't like this person. No, we're out.
Yeah.
AMC, I heard a guy there say once I'm balding and ugly. That's not happening.
Oh.
So, you know, right? You're,
yeah,
like, you're like, okay, well, you're crossing them all off the list. So HBO was like, oh, we don't
totally
want Wilfred.
Right.
What the fuck, Wilfred?
I mean, I hear that stuff. I hear that stuff a lot, and I'm like, oh, that's so petty. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, but then you reminded me of a time when I was in Wilfred in Australia. And there was some headshots up on the wall for people that auditioned, and one guy up there had offended me drunk one night. And I said, you can take that photo down. And I went down, so I've done exactly the same thing. You know?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, that's it. I totally believe that would have been the reason. I totally believe it.
It's an industry that's built on personalities, and
yep,
I guess there's a lot of strong personalities. We're not all going to get
along. Right. That's right. I guess so.
Yeah, that is actually true, because it takes someone bigger than life to sort of make it in this town, is what I'm figuring out.
Yeah.
And if we're all like that, then good luck.
Well, most people had to survive where they're from. If you've got here, you've already, like, it's kind of like the sperm cell getting to the egg.
Yeah.
The sperm, yeah, it's getting to the egg. So you've earned,
cleared a couple hurdles,
yeah,
let's call it.
So what can we expect on this season of Wilfred? It takes place in June on FX on Thursday nights. What can we expect this year? Any big story arcs, or is there any guests that we should be looking for? Is there anything you're very excited about?
I can't announce any guests.
Can't talk about anything.
No. Well, you know, I can say that, you know.
All right, back to how much HBO blows.
Yeah, I can't talk about casting. We actually haven't cast anyone yet. We're waiting on
That's
a couple
cool.
of people.
All right.
Oh, hi there.
I don't believe you, but I don't believe you, but okay. All right. My audience is like, oh, Matt, you're being mean. Yes.
Did I mention I'm funny?
Oh, yeah, you should have said that. In front of an actress that you're casting, way to go.
As error number one.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about the show returning. It's in June. It's on FX. UFC.
Yeah, bring it.
I'll talk to you about that. Come back on again. Let's talk UFC.
I'd love to.
Hey, we'll talk more Wolfram. We'll talk more UFC. I can talk about this stuff all day.
Yeah, me too.
and then we could talk about you, me, and Robin Williams, and which AA around here we can go to.
Okay, yeah, cool. Good one.
What's around here that works? But no, June, we should look for Wilfred coming back. Hopefully, when there's some announcements, I'll announce it on the show.
Great.
When you guys have people coming on. I'll take care of that for you.
Look, I've had a great time today, so thanks for having me.
I'm glad you came out, Jason.
I'm going to have some
very
pizza.
Glad you came out. Yeah, have some pie. Have some pie, and thank you so much for coming out.
All right, guys.
All right, I'm going to play a little music. We'll be back in a few minutes. Yeah, some Springsteen's good for me.
back to the Matthew Aaron Show.
You just
heard. That was very good. The music is actually still playing. It's okay. Yeah. Coming back to you from Taste Chicago, Burbank.
Cats away, the mice will play.
Yeah. Maybe we could have Kate's mic on. Is it?
Am I on? Am I on?
You, first of all, you know how talented I am. We've already... Yeah. Okay. Because I think I've already played my hand on this show. Okay.
We've been abandoned by
Yeah,
our
I
master.
Know. We've been abandoned by our host. This is that was good. It was a real good interview.
That was a great interview.
Okay.
He's
great. You're gonna coach? Yeah, right. Oh yeah.
can you hear the yelling?
It's a good interview. I didn't know you were a UFC fan. I thought you kind of older is better, but I can't leave the world of boxing though. I just love straight up boxing. You know, because there is more of an artistry and a science to it.
I agree with you.
And I like that.
UFC is based on mixed martial arts versus...
Right, but they have all these styles together, and they don't go together. I mean...
Right, okay, that's what I was going to say, because it looks a little bit like a cross between capoeira and like a karate or something.
I would love to see it, first of all.
Capoeira? Did you just drop that so well pronounced?
That's right.
I would love to see a capoeira fighter on UFC.
You went with capoeira.
Dancing around.
Was that capoeira?
No idea.
I love how out of all the easy martial arts names you could throw down, taekwondo, karate, whatever, she goes, capoeira? Yeah, it worked out great. Okay. All right.
Go hard or go home.
Yeah.
So anyways, I love boxing too. For me, it's not boxing or UFC.
It's both.
It's both.
Wrestling.
Right.
I like wrestling. Wrestling is your big one, though.
Yeah, but you know about this too. I don't like current wrestling.
Of course.
I like the old school.
Right, of course.
Yeah. I'm an old school guy. Stone Cold, all day. Ric Flair, Nature Boy,
Mexican.
All day.
Mexican.
Lucha Libre.
Luchadors.
Here's the thing about Lucha Libre. It's a cultural thing. It's one of those things I can't get into.
All right.
But I appreciate it.
Fair play.
Right.
Fair play. I could see you in the suit is all I'm saying.
Oh! She's saying I'd make a good fat little Mexican wrestler with a mask. That's what she's saying. I'd make a good lucha libre.
Just being kind.
That's nice.
Everyone would know. Here's the thing. If I was one of those, everyone would know it was me because my hair would stick out from underneath that huge mask.
No, they have some of the... There was this fat Mexican wrestler called El Dandy, and he wore a mask, and he had your hair. And
really?
The hair would stick out. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And his name was El Dandy.
Of the bottom, or did it actually...
I could see you playing an El Dandy.
Well, that would
be your Mexican wrestler.
Well, I am asthmatic, so anything physical is very difficult for me, as you know.
What would you be? What would your Lucha Libre name be, Kate?
Ooh, is this like when we combine our
no,
pet's name with our first that we lived on?
I would think so.
Lakeshore, but...
Susie Lakeshore is a very good,
pretty good, right?
Lucha Libre, or
Susie
in your case,
Lakeshore?
Libra.
Susie Lakeshore?
That's right.
I don't know if that's a Lucha Libre.
I know, right?
That's an awesome name, though.
It's a great name for this porn I'm writing. It's fantastic.
Right.
Actually, that sounds like a name of a character in a Steven Soderbergh movie, actually.
Sounds like a character
Susie
on Friends. Susie
Lakeshore, and she loves money. It's such a Soderbergh movie right there. But
You're a disenchanted yuppie.
right.
Soderbergh
right,
movie.
Right.
And you love drugs.
And I just want to take
side effects
clothes
in theaters
off
now.
All the time. I don't know why.
I like that about Steven.
I'm seeing that movie.
Steven's okay about that. I like Steven in that aspect where he's comfortable with nudity, that's Soderbergh, because he doesn't have to do any of it.
Is he European? Yeah, no.
No. Who's like the most famous person from Canada? Like, we have our famous Canadians where we're like John Candy, Dan Aykroyd. Okay, for you, like coming from Canada, who do they go down to? Gretzky?
Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, obviously
all of them.
Gretzky.
Okay, but like, who's like the people that aren't obvious to us?
Who's
the like most famous Canadian in Canada?
There's a guy, George Strombolopoulos, and he started out on much...
Strombolopoulos?
Music.
That's his name?
Exactly. And think about that. If his name is 45
letters long, you can get away with Strombolopoulos.
And he's still famous.
Yeah. Right.
It's pretty great, right?
So who's like a really famous actor in Canada? He could be out here, but like that in America, we don't think as famous as you guys think.
Oh, you know.
Who's like more popular in Canada than here?
Huh. I mean, it's tough because you forget that
Bret Hart. Speaking of wrestling, Bret
Hart.
You've
got to make it big somewhere else, and then you come back to Canada.
Here's what's interesting about wrestling. You know who Bret the Hitman Hart is.
Yeah, I do. There you go.
In Canada, he's a national hero. Yeah. Here, people are like, oh, Bret Hart, he was a really good wrestler, whatever. You know.
Oh, that's funny, but you're right.
But
I
in Canada,
I don't know
national hero. Yeah, that's Calgary funny. Hitman. That's his hockey team that he owns, too. Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's an AHL team, I believe. AHL? Is that AHL or IHL?
Maybe. There's musicians, too. There's,
yeah, who's like Rush? Right. Rush huge in Canada.
I mean, Celine is huge outside of Canada, and then, of course,
I knew Celine
Canada.
Was huge. What's your favorite Celine album?
I have no idea.
Let's Talk About Love, 1997.
Ed the Sock, he's Canadian.
Oh, I thought that was the name of a Celine album,
awesome.
Ed the Sock.
Yeah. Ed the Sock is Canadian and is awesome. That is true.
I love the way he points to my screen and then, what am I doing here at Caesar? What do you want from me?
Click the link.
God. Okay, Most Notable Canadians, Actors and Actresses, probably written by an American.
That's hilarious.
It's more fun.
Pamela Anderson, Pamela's big there.
Yeah, we know that Pamela's Canadian.
Will Arnett's a bigger deal there than here? I don't think so. I don't believe that one.
No,
that's about it. Equa big deal.
Okay, yeah. This is how you know these lists on IMDb are horseshit, because one, anyone can do them, but number four after Dan Aykroyd, Scott Burstow.
Okay.
Scott Barrow. Yeah, I don't think anyone cares.
I don't know who that is.
What about Peter Jennings? How do you feel about Peter Jennings?
Do they like Justin Bieber? Are they like as anti-Bieber like Men in America? Or are they like, he is from Canada,
he is from Canada. Yeah, exactly. That's probably usually
really?
The way it
no,
goes.
But the more, if you act American and you're from Canada, you'll succeed.
Nev
if
Campbell.
If people believe you're American. Like, people don't know that Alanis Morissette is Canadian.
Who's
great.
Right.
And
who's,
great.
Right.
Who's the hottest Canadian, Nev Campbell or Justin Bieber?
Oh, Pamela Anderson, clearly.
I'd do both those girls. Oh, I'd do Pam, too.
I'll take Alanis.
Oh, I didn't even bring up Alanis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, though. The greatest Canadian, yeah, Jim Carrey was great. Michael Cera, whatever. Listen, the greatest Canadian ever, Tommy Chong's great. Ever is John Candy.
John Candy, okay.
Yep. Ever. I'm sorry. I can't.
Yeah.
But
we also make fun of her a lot. Let's be real here, people.
Well, who
yeah. In Canada, we make fun
who
of ourselves.
Who doesn't make fun of Celine Dion? But I love Celine Dion.
Yeah.
I love Celine Dion. I'm open.
Standing there.
Listen.
Standing
okay,
there in line for your free
highest,
healthcare, making your jokes about
she is the highest selling female artist of all time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But all you hear is people say, I don't own an album, I hate her.
Mm,
okay, there's some
gotta.
Secret fans
yeah.
out there. So I'm just going to be the one that openly says, I own the album.
You're hilarious, you do not own
do, I own a bunch of her albums.
You own a
yeah,
bunch
he,
of
I can name you albums. Falling Into You, 1995. Let's
Literally,
Talk About Love, 1997. A New Decade, 2000. I can go on about Celine Dion.
I'm starting to
a
believe.
A new day's come.
Here's
okay,
the thing.
Well, that's it. We found you. You're single-handedly supporting Celine.
Yeah. There's more than me.
I sometimes think that I realize now that the reason you are into artists like Celine Dion and Whitney Houston and all these women when nobody your age or gender is to elicit reactions like that
right,
from
right,
women
right,
like Kate.
Right, right, right.
Which makes me
but
think
then
I
why
gotta,
do I do it when they're not around the house?
It makes me think
oh, for practice,
for
education.
Practice, you got to know the lyrics.
Right, I need to know the lyrics in case
practice.
They quiz me
that's
on
right,
it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
aw, you sensitive.
Norm MacDonald, though, he's a hero.
Yeah,
he's a national hero.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis, he's a national hero.
Rick Moranis.
Oh, there's
yeah.
shrines. There's shrines.
There's shrines to Ricky Moran?
Not shrines.
That's a shame.
Rick Moranis.
When Leslie Nielsen died, did you guys, like, freeze his body?
Aw, that was
did
sad.
You freeze his body?
I'm
so, like,
sure we sent it to space.
Yeah, right. Sent it to space, and it actually happened without some calamitous, hilarious incident.
Oh, no.
How come all women from Canada are funny?
Mm,
like, there's way more funny women from Canada. Like, you're funny. Catherine O'Hara. I mean, there's tons of funny women from Canada.
Really?
What's her name is from Canada
oh.
on Grey's Anatomy?
There.
Sandra Oh?
Yeah, Sandra
she's
Oh.
Funny.
She's Canadian.
Yeah,
she's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe you,
what the hell?
Okay,
yeah, what's
you know
up
how they
that?
Say that you can get abs for, if you laugh hard enough and long enough? Well, maybe it's actually just a workout type thing, and you're just trying to keep warm.
Yeah, but all the best stars are from Canada. All of them. Okay, listen, I'll read you this list, and they're way better than any Americans.
We just heard, like, every famous Canadian.
All right, Pam Anderson. She's Pam Anderson.
Done.
Okay, done. Will Arnett, done. Great. Dan Aykroyd, great.
I mean, come on, Blues Brothers.
Jay Baruchel, can take him or leave him. Justin Bieber. Well, he's Justin Bieber. I mean, you can't hate, right?
That's right.
All right, Nev Campbell. Underrated, amazing, okay. Sexy. And by the way, all
she's
the women on this list that I'm reading, they're all fucking hot. Yeah. Like, incredibly, incredibly sexy.
Something about being
Here's
able to...
Here's another sexy woman, Hayden Christensen.
Oh, right.
She is sexy.
Yeah.
Rachel awesome. Chong.
Yeah.
Kim Coates is Canadian.
Right.
What? My love for Canadians, Nathan Fillion, like all
oh,
the really cool
wait,
actors
really?
Are Canadian.
I didn't
know
yeah, that. I
Michael J. Fox.
I could have sworn Nathan was British.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I knew
Tom
that.
Green. That's kind of a sore spot for you guys. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
they couldn't all be winners. All right,
could,
Bruce,
sorry.
Bruce Greenwood. That's cool.
Bruce, yeah.
Right.
That's cool. Corey yeah. Haim, not so cool. Yeah. Phil Hartman, though.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Phil Hartman was probably right. the funniest guy mm. ever on SNL. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Jill Hennessy, hot. I mean, and all these women are smoking. Natasha Henstridge.
Yeah.
Man. Margot Kidder, back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Margot.
Something in the water, maybe.
Evangeline Lilly, Rachel McAdams.
We have Niagara Falls right there. So.
Is that what it is?
Is that where all the women are born?
Like, in the fall.
Like a stork brought them. A stork that fucked a really hot woman.
Another beautiful woman, Ryan Reynolds, is from Canada. They're all gorgeous.
She
I remember Caesar. I took Caesar to dinner at Craig's,
right
in West Hollywood, and we ate dinner next to Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. And I'm like thinking the whole time, Ryan Reynolds is way hotter than Blake Lively. She was like a 7. He was like a 10. I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this go down. First of all, Blake Lively totally wasn't what I expected.
Right.
I hope she never hears this. But
oh.
I thought she was like a 10. She was like a 7.
All right.
She was like a 7. I know. I know.
I
women hate
know
when men rape
no,
people.
No, I actually don't know who that is.
No, and she's an actress.
I know, but...
Gossip Girl?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's that whole...
So I know women
thing.
Hate when men rate women. Thank you, Jason. Have a good evening.
Bye, you guys.
Wilfred, this June, FX. So, Jason just picked up some delicious pizza from Taste Chicago. And the reason I didn't come back on right away is at 603 North Hollywood here, I was chowing down on some pie, but... You know, I want people here to leave for a bit, too. So, so anyways, we're at this restaurant. And, you know, Blake Lively, I always thought she was, like, the most gorgeous girl coming up. I didn't know if she was the best actress, whatever, but I thought she was gorgeous.
So you fell for Photoshop, is what you're telling me.
Photoshop mixed with, she didn't really have the makeup going on. The hair looked like, she looked like she may have not showered that day. I don't know. But Ryan Reynolds, I'm like, you stud muffin.
Did it stir?
Yeah, a little bit. I could have stirred some tea with it.
Okay.
Okay, the two funniest guys ever are from Canada. Ever. Phil Hartman, Martin Short. And that's all you need to say about Canada. Right there. It's
right.
done.
Right.
Done and done. John Candy, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah, we got Bill Murray. And that's like it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's about it.
Seriously. Alan Thicke's Canadian. That's all you need to know. It's done.
That's right.
Donald Sutherland, of course.
Donald Sutherland. All the SCTV people, Catherine O'Hara. Yeah,
right.
They're really good musicians.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have a friend who's not, like, I actually have more than one friend who cannot stand Catherine O'Hara. I love her.
I love
think
her.
She's a
really?
Genius.
She's great.
I think she's great. But she is one of the few actors.
I didn't know that was actually genetically possible.
And I'm friends with people that are very, very close with her. So I'm not saying this to be a dick, but she seems to be one of those people that is so good at her job. I've noticed this about people so good at their job, like Justin Bieber to a
right.
degree, where, no, I mean this. I mean,
I know,
you're
but that was
so
hilarious
good.
To use that.
Catherine O'Hara and Justin Bieber together.
Yeah.
You're so good at your job, though. It's kind of like Eugene Levy, though, too. All right, that's a much better comparison.
Yeah.
Where it draws the line of people either love you,
yes,
or they're like, I can't stand that person. You know who's another type like that? Dan Hedaya.
Yeah, Dan Hedaya is a great
Dan
actor.
Hedaya is another guy who my grandmother and her friends would always sit around playing Mahjong going, oh, you know who? I can't stand that guy. That bald guy, the Dan Hedayers.
But I like that they actually know who he is, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Who that was the funniest thing. My grandma and grandpa knew nothing about Hollywood.
So this avuncular, bug-eyed
actor.
My
dad, my grandma knew was Dan Hedaya.
Who looks more like Nixon every year.
Yeah.
Who's great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's absolutely right about it.
Yeah. But that just would tell you something, is that things that are people and things that are made to be for everybody. Everyone should be able to
Pat
enjoy
Tobias,
it. Generally,
Pat Tobias reminded me, though, yeah. We do need to gossip about John Hamm at the Four Seasons.
That's
we
right.
Promised
that
people.
Was a great, yeah.
So Pat Tobias, this is why you get paid for what you do. All that $0.
yeah.
What
so,
happened?
All right. So the weekend of the pilot shoot, you know, I like going to the Four Seasons and just hanging out.
Right.
Okay, I'm not like going there for the Travolta reasons, but I'm going to hang out.
I literally smuggle a half pint of Jim Beam in it and pour it into a glass of ice that I get from the bar.
So the first night we go, it's SAG Award weekend.
True.
And the Boardwalk Empire cast is in town.
Right.
And Buscemi's there and Bobby Cannavale and Chris Rock was there trying to get that black guy role on
I love him
Boardwalk.
On Boardwalk. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great on Boardwalk.
I just saw Good Hair, P.S. Oh, wow.
That's a funny movie.
It's a good movie.
That's
yeah,
a funny movie.
No
it's
idea.
Funny. It's a funny documentary.
No
if you've never seen Good Hair.
If you've not been to Chicago and been to one of those barber shops, they're amazing
right,
places.
Right,
Chicago's
right.
got those barber shops.
Right.
The best.
Oh, Chicago does that better than anybody. So, okay. So we're there this Saturday night. I go there. And we're having cigars, and the Boardwalk cast is there, and the Madman cast is there, or Mad Men. Oh, no, this is Sunday. This is right after the award show.
Right.
So they're all coming in their gowns.
Right.
And their tuxes, and John Hamm is hammered.
Hammered.
As Lee said. Go ahead, Lee. Give everyone your hammered.
Yeah, well, we already did it. Now it's...
You do it better, though.
Hammered. continue the story.
So, I go to the bathroom and I bump into John.
No.
He was coming from the lobby. He seemed angry. I know they lost, but like it couldn't have been a shock to him. They never win, so who cares? So he seemed pissed and drunk. I'm walking to I could be totally wrong. He seemed like a nice guy too, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he seemed like he was having fun and a normal dude. And I'm sure John's a good dude. So if he ever hears this, because I know he listens to a lot of podcasts, don't hate him.
Don't hate him.
But
we really like you, John.
You looked angry. There was a guy that seemed angry in the lobby. John walks into the bathroom. I walk in front of him. Like he almost bumps into me. John and I this is not the first time I've seen John Hamm.
Right.
So we recognize that we
have seen each other
numerous times, but I don't talk to him because I've never talked to him.
Right. We don't. Yeah.
We just happen to see him at places, and I go, oh, hey, you. Okay.
Matt and I are very good at not annoying celebrities.
Right. I stay very far away from celebrities. So there's only two stalls, and there's like the midget pisser and the pisser.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if you don't know how men's rooms are.
I've seen it. Yeah. Scary.
Well, we could get into why you've seen it. So I take the midget pisser because I'm shorter than John, and John takes a piss, and we finish it like exactly the same
time.
So I go, you know, I just shot this pilot. There were a lot of great people on it. John knows some of them. Maybe I'll ask him to finally come do the podcast because we've asked his people a million times, and they never give it to him, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about asking him, and I go, I'll ask him when we go wash hands.
Let me guess, he didn't wash his hands.
John does not wash his hands. So I'm disgusted. Disgusted. And angry all night about it.
Because he's about to go shake a lot of hands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So then Lee, Mikey Terzo, Anthony Giuliano, and I, we get into a huge fight because Lee says he doesn't wash his hands. He thinks it's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
And I think it's disgusting. I think it's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Matt, a girl, I can see it being bullshit because we don't piss on our hands. And neither do
but
you.
But
you're holding genitalia. And
yes.
I'm holding toilet
my
paper,
genitals
my
are cleaner than everyone's hands. Okay? What do hands do all day? Touch money.
What does it?
Shake other people's hands.
What does a dick do
and
all day?
And that's why I walk around all day with fucking hand sanitizer.
Get washed regularly and thoroughly daily. That's what a dick does.
No. That's it's we're not having this fight again. But for people at home keeping score,
for people at home
Lee
keeping score,
doesn't wash hands. I'm obsessed with washing hands. We you, both Lee. Think for, each other are.
Yeah.
I think Lee's disgusting. Lee thinks I'm a sellout to soap company.
I just think Matt and everyone he knows have the germophobia that's generally associated with high self-regard, but that's okay. Fine.
Yes, we do have high self-regard, and I'd like to keep it that way. Thank you. I have a lot of self-regard for myself. Yes.
By the way, another question would be, which of us gets sick more?
Oh, who knows?
Okay, that's all right.
That's not true. You just had laryngitis. You just had laryngitis. Who gets sick more? You walk out of your bedroom every morning going, huh.
My aunt,
I get sick more.
No word of a lie. My aunt would take all of my nieces and nephews before they were 2 years old and get them to play with the dog shit in the backyard.
That's disgusting.
To build up their antibodies.
That's disgusting. To build up their antibodies.
Did I mention
yeah.
how disgusting Canadians were?
So anyway.
But they don't get sick.
Mikey Terzo goes to the bathroom. John Hamm's in the bathroom again.
All right.
Mikey Terzo goes to the bathroom, walks out, he comes back, and he goes, nope.
Yeah.
No wash
of the hand. Then the unbiased guy, Mr. I don't wash my hands either, bumped into him as well in the bathroom, Lee did, and he goes, nope, didn't
no,
wash.
He didn't.
No,
so that's three times.
That's three times.
That's documented, proven.
First of all,
three
the man is
in
control of a piss, even drunk. He doesn't piss on his hands.
This audio segment would go viral, but I'm really afraid John Hamm would hate my guts the rest of my life.
Well,
but John, you know it's true. Four seasons, the night of SAG Awards, you were hammered drinking your Miller Lights, your Budweisers. I don't know what you were throwing down. Probably
they don't have that at the
he's
Four Seasons.
He's a St. Louis guy, so he was probably doing that Bud Platinum. So,
yes.
John,
yeah, he had a.
You know it's true.
He got a 1050 Bud bucket at the Four Seasons Beverly Hills.
But I will
yeah,
say
right.
this. You know who looked gorgeous as usual? January Jones. Christina Hendricks is always hot.
Yeah.
And great. John Slattery was like the coolest dude ever, and I think Robert Morse was hitting on hookers at the bar.
I had my eye on.
I'm thinking.
I had my eye on Gretchen Mol, but that's.
Well, that was the night before, wasn't it?
Well, she was there the other.
She was
weekend.
Too. I wasn't paying much attention.
But I was there at the urinal, and it's. I'm using the midget urinal.
Right.
And I put my drink down, and it just made the biggest clink on the marble floor.
Right.
And John's next to me, like, I'm not going to bother him, but I'm like giggling at the tight, like. Why would you have a kiddie urinal
at the
most adult place? Are those for the midget hookers that have sex with the people? Like, I'm just
well,
like,
midget male hookers?
It's a niche market.
And
I
utter out of my mouth, I go, fucking midget urinal.
Now, wait, did you just say it's a niche market?
Niche.
Just like your capadar?
How's it really pronounced?
Niche. It's niche market.
On, it is not niche. That is so wrong.
It is niche.
Niche. Like it rhymes
I've
with
caught
this.
You mispronouncing things like no. four times today, Canadian.
I'm
people,
sorry. I'm sorry that you're so against the pronunciation of niche.
You people are wrong. You people are all wrong.
So, feel
Tobias,
free to borrow that.
Tobias wanted to remind me my boy Perry Mason is Canadian.
Because nah.
Tobias knows I watch all my dorky detective mysteries.
Perry
on,
Mason.
On the boob tube. He also said we were going to deliver some gossip about Dine and Dash, the shoot.
Yeah.
I think I did with the editing room talk.
Yeah.
I did that.
The footage looks great. I almost died in a car wreck on the way there. Courtesy of Anthony Giuliano.
That's right.
Producer.
What?
Yeah. Oh, so tell that story.
So
this is good.
So we're late. And the whole thing is entirely my fault.
By the way, Anthony Giuliano, for people who have not tuned in previously, is out of his fucking mind, and he's our executive producer.
Right.
But he's out of his, literally, he's Looney Tunes.
Yeah. But he's all heart. Anyway, we...
All heart, yeah.
Duly noted. Lots of meds?
I have the key to one of the cars on me, and I didn't know it, so it was just like 10 minutes, but we had to make up some time getting there. So he gets in the car, me and him, and we're racing down the 101. It's snowing. It's raining that morning. He's like doing crazy in and out of car shit. I'm gripping the seat like I can't.
And I've driven with him. Does he do the thing where
he
will
the 405,
cut off a truck?
Yes.
And I mean barely
cut off a truck. Yeah.
Yeah. I do it all the time with him. I hate it. I like when he drives. Him, Alex Luis, the worst drivers ever.
But he, every single person in Los Angeles
and he
turns into a brain dead idiot
then,
on the road.
Then we get out of the car and he's like, "All right, let's get this stuff." And I'm like, "I can't move for a minute." The valet guy's like, "I need to park the car, senor." Like I can't do like, I can't move. I could not move.
No.
Oh, and that was a great, but that, I needed that because I was kind of groggy from very little sleep. So that was what I needed.
It was probably for the best.
To Anthony to almost
get,
kill me.
And
that
he does that at
out
like,
of the car so that he would, well, how did he get you back in?
The
car?
Funny thing is, that's just how Anthony drives on normal 4 p.m. in Downers Grove. Like, we were coming back from the post office in Downers Grove, and he just drives like that. I'm like, bro, I got nowhere to be. I'm good.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then he gets mad at anyone that cuts him off or drives past me. He'll flip out. Flip out. And his way of flipping out is going faster, cutting them off.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm like, Anthony, this is insane. He's like, yeah, I know. And then he went faster. He's
and
like,
then,
I'm not.
And Terzo and Luisi do the thing that I sometimes do, but they do it to like a tenth, an nth degree. Like women do it, I do it, but they do it so bad that you're going to die. They Facebook and tweet and text while they're driving.
Oh, God.
I know, I hate that.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And this is only something that happened once I moved to L.A.
I can see
I will email and text sometimes when I'm driving. I'll wait until I'm at like a stoplight or something.
Yeah.
But I can be bad about it. These guys are awful. Awful. They will be driving through Laurel Canyon, Mulholland Drive.
Come on.
I'm not even kidding. Yep. Coldwater Canyon, and they'll be texting and swerving and
pure Thanatos.
Facebooking.
You know, I don't want to be like I'm sitting there in the car. I don't want to be a little Felix Unger, but I'm like, maybe you shouldn't do that.
You're right.
Yeah,
right.
And they're like, it's fine. They don't give
the
a
thing
fuck.
That I know is that when I'm driving behind a car and they're texting, I can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell
yeah,
by
me
the
too.
Weird
me
reaction
too.
Times and the suddenly
right.
straying to one side.
Right.
Recovery.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And then like overcompensating.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I realized I was getting bad at it last week. We were going to a screening and we were going through Coldwater Canyon and it was an email. And for whatever reason at this moment, I deemed it to be an important email.
Okay.
So I'm like, I can't possibly wait 20 minutes till we stop. And Lee goes, watching the road there? And I'm like, oh, God, I'm turning into them.
Yeah.
I'm turning into them.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm as bad, though.
No, you're not.
I don't think I'm as bad. I think I'm a better driver while doing it, but I'm sure they think that way, too,
you're not
though,
half
so.
As bad. No, you're not even half as
they,
bad.
They probably think that way, too, though. I remember
but,
Terzo.
But again,
had
they
that,
don't think they're doing anything dangerous.
Remember
though,
Terzo
yeah,
had that car
the
crash
on
the internet?
Lipstick, everything. They
and
don't.
Kate knows Mikey Terzo because Mikey hits on her all the time on the Facebook. And he was on the last time you were on the show. He was the other. He was the one co-hosting
oh, yeah.
you while he was here. Wait, Mikey Terzo's on the phone. Mikey, you there?
Hello. Oh, I'm here.
Texting and driving?
Texting and driving a little bit. I was actually checking my email.
Yeah. So you want to say hi to Kate? I forgot we had a call board all day. We had tons of calls, but I never got to because we had so much of our own talk.
Hi, Kate. What are you doing?
Okay, pretty good. I'm actually kind of jealous right now that I am not in L.A.
I know. I've taken your co-host spot here.
I know. It's
not what you were telling of.
this is probably seen Beast with me, so it's okay.
Oh, no, you're breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Mikey. You in a bad area?
Oh, must have driven.
Am I breaking up? This is terrible. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Were you under a White Castle drive-through?
No, I was actually on my way to the only Hardee's in Illinois over in Roscoe. I was doing the 90-mile trip for a Monster Thick Burger.
Close enough. Really?
Are that, you really?
That's...
No, I'm not. I'm on my way home from the gym.
9 miles to a Hardee's.
Actually, you know, it's
across the street, and I'm not going to eat there.
No, me and Big Sean, were so bored one night. It was like literally, it was probably 12:30 in the morning. We were sitting in Geneva with nothing to do. We found this 24 hours Hardee's. that was in Roscoe. We drove an hour and 45 minutes to get a two double monster thick burgers, a cheesy bacon like fry, and this big chocolate chick. We pound all this down and passed out in my car for 3 hours in the parking lot before we even left. It was terrible.
So these two 400-pound men are passed out in a car together.
By terrible, you mean awesome.
You mean brilliant.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was probably the worst case of the itis I've ever had. It was terrible. Oh,
so, Mikey, fantastic. Now I know this was your second time to L.A. in January. Second time. All right. Now are you missing it? The first time you're like, but I'm glad I went home, blah, blah, blah. It's great, right. Yada, yada, yada. Now you're missing L.A.?
Well, I'll tell you this. Okay. I miss being out there. It is a great town. I'm starting to miss the people. That's what it is.
I've never heard that about L.A. in my life.
No, what are you talking about? Are you sure you haven't confused this for another place?
I think
making up her prior things he said about LA.
I think Mikey got the bug, and I think he likes the business now.
You know what it is, Maddie? It's just because everybody out there is so lazy. It just makes it easy for me to look good.
There we are.
I'm going to give you that.
Beautiful.
Well, Mikey, we miss you too.
Yeah.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I hope my chicken scratch worked out the other night, by the way.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Great notes,
by the way. Yeah, Lee went over with them before I went, and we wrote down everything that I thought would be great. I got in the editing room. For people that don't know, Mikey did the notes the day of the pilot, so during the shoot, he wrote down the time that it happened, and the notes were great. And Lee and I picked out some funny stories. And then I had to watch the footage to make sure they were funny, because it was just basically off of what we remembered. But, they were funny and they killed. They were great.
Good. Did you let Joe Carnahan read through the notes?
No, Joe never asked to read through them.
That's probably a good thing. Anyway.
My favorite thing in the notes was Joe bangs on table. Three notes later. Joe bangs on table. Okay. Three notes later, Joe bangs on table. That was good.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was great. So how was the guest tonight?
Oh, the guest was great. Jason Gann from Wilfred. I mean, he plays Wilfred on Wilfred. Have you ever seen Wilfred? You got that shop?
As a matter of fact, I have. Him and, what's his face from Lord of the Rings? Frodo Baggins.
Frodo Baggins. That's right.
Yes.
So,
he was very enlightening.
Mikey, you're missing it out here, pal. We better sell this
buddy.
You could get out here.
Hey, I know. Me and you still got to talk about some things and, that just may happen. I just hope my current boss isn't listening right now.
Are we talking about some Mikey Terzo accidents? We can't talk about those things on the air. People having Mikey Terzo accidents.
There's a lot. Cement shoes.
Yeah. No cement shoes? That's right. Weren't you and
there's a lot.
Get pho together?
Say what?
Pho?
Oh, yeah. No. Me and Kate totally got a date planned out when I get out there.
Pho?
Oh.
Wait, she says it's pho. Tell her it's wrong.
It's pho.
I don't give a shit. It's pho. As long as it goes in my mouth, I'm happy. Okay?
Whoa, Mikey. Not everything that goes in your mouth, you're happy
that's
about.
That's the kind of way I used to get tripped up.
Yeah, right.
I literally think I've pronounced one single thing correct.
No, you haven't. Weren't you and Mikey used to go get some fofa? Fofa?
Yeah, we'll get... Yeah, we'll get some, whatever it is.
She doesn't even remember, Mikey. Oh, man. So, there goes Kay Kelton's fan.
I'm going to send you the heart-shaped pizza, okay?
That's okay. I'll probably send it up half-eaten so it looks broken.
Oh, it's already half. Yeah. You could send it up empty that point.
It looks like my heart tomorrow, just not together in one piece.
That heart-shaped pizza is good. I got to tell you, taste Chicago. I'm loving it here. I'm loving it here. I really am. On Fridays, I come in for lunch. I don't even want to give the secret out on the show. But I come in for lunch on Fridays, and the place is hopping, lying out the door, and I am eating like my pepper and egg. I do my Catholic Friday lunches.
even though I'm an atheist. And you have my clam chowder and my, it's the best. It's the best. Yeah, yeah, pepper and egg and clam chowder. That's how I roll on.
Wait. Actually, speaking of pepper and egg, isn't today is Ash Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Mikey, and this is no BS, Mikey, on me. Joe's Place here, Taste Chicago, they make one of the best pepper eggs I ever had.
Really?
It's great.
I mean, really? I usually go to Johnny's for a pepper and egg. But I mean, as long as it'd be nice to find one out there.
Yeah, Johnny's pepper and egg,
yeah.
Hard to beat.
Yeah,
hard
you're
to
right
beat.
About that, too. You're right about that, too. Johnny's makes a good one. I'll be home in a couple of weeks, pal, 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. That sounds like a good idea. We're going to have to go grab a bite a few times. And make maybe we have a couple of cigars. I got some special ones at the shop.
Oh, that's very good. That sounds like a good time. You got anything else you need to say to Kate before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it. No, I'm just, until time. Next time we're out there, we're going to do Mike Durzo and Matty Aaron and Kate Kelton over at the Four Seasons. I was having a drink.
So I don't know if he's talking about like a sweet gang rape. I don't know what's going on here. Kate Kelton, surprise sex, they
one
call it.
One bed.
Hey, hold on.
My star. What?
boys.
In the words of Napoleon, if rape is imminent, try to sit back and enjoy it.
I don't even know.
You're breaking up, Mikey.
It's getting awful.
Oh, gosh, Mikey, I can't even hear you.
Bye,
now.
Mikey. I just hung up on him.
Yeah.
Did you just suggest anal? The worst time to be breaking up while on the phone is during a great rape joke.
Yes, it is.
No.
That's when you're going to be really misunderstood.
Right. It's going to be the kind of thing that happens. But he can continue his online stalking, whereas Matt and I will do a more direct live-action stalking.
Pat Tobias says he's going to make a soundbite of Mikey saying, as long as it goes in his mouth, he's happy. And Pat does make those sound bites. Pat will sneak one in every now and then.
Amazing.
No, you could put that after the anal beads one.
Yeah,
no. So it'll be like they're having a conversation. Anal beads, as long as it goes in my mouth, it's happy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Here's Charles. A little.
Anal beads.
Yeah.
Anal beads.
Anal beads.
Yeah. Bueller.
That's like such a dork. Yeah, right.
No, but play that one and if you could play that one and then the Terzo one.
I'll have to put together a little mixtape of anal beads.
We'll have Neil do some editing on that.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't have enough on his plate. Kate, thank you for joining me today, Kate Kelton.
Maddie,
you're gorgeous.
Thank you so much. You're gorgeous.
You're a liar.
You're a liar. Stop.
Gorgeous liar.
Okay. And is there anything you need to promote before we go?
Very bubbly.
Oh, no,
I mean, they rerun that Haven all the time on Sci-Fi, so whatever. Just watch residuals from that. Doesn't matter. We got 10 seconds. I'm going to let you go. We'll see you next week, folks.
Bye-bye.
Kiss, everyone.
Okay, that was good.
I think we pulled that.